Hello everybody and welcome to episode 49 of the Oscar White Media Podcast. I am, as per usual, your host Chris Lipscomb. I am joined this week by the rather lovely Managing Director of Oscar White Media and Editor-in-Chief of SixAxis.com, Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
Hello!
I'm also joined this week by Editor-in-Chief over at ScreenDemon.com, Lewis Gaston. Say hello, Lewis.
Hello.
And we are finally joined by Kev Adset, who doesn't really have any titles. We need to make up a title for you, Kev, so you can have a title. Say hello, Kev.
Hello.
Excellent. First on...
Well, you are underwater today.
You are indeed. First up, the news.
Oh, I'm hearing some breaking news.
Steam on iOS. Bong.
Bong.
Yeah, so Steam is on iOS.
Thanks,
do we want to speculate wildly about the future of mobile gaming?
I can't wait to play Portal on my iPad.
That is exactly what Dav said. Literally word for word.
What's going on?
You live in
Portal's coming to iPad.
Do you think they will? Do you think Steam will eventually get into the streaming?
I reckon that would be the way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll sell games.
No, well, they're not. The app that they're launching, it's still in beta. I can't get into it because I'm not in the beta.
Yeah, but the press release says it's like the Steamworky stuff.
Yeah, it's just chat. It doesn't. You can't buy games through it. It's just the chat and the sort of management features, I think.
Yeah. Exactly. For some reason, I'm pointing this out because I just declined to call. My mum refuses to call my mobile now and always tries to call me on Skype. No, mum, go away.
Does she live in Australia?
No, she lives like in Haven. So
she lives in Haven?
She lives in Waterlooville, actually. I think. It's technically where her house
is. That's never near Haven.
The sort of
roughly... football team represents both.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Geographically close enough to have a shared football team.
Hmm.
So they must be further apart than Chelsea and Fulham.
And the only other team that has an and in it.
They're separate teams.
Manchester City and Manchester United are the same city, though. They're not combined.
Yeah, and Brighton and Hove have an Albion, so...
Yeah.
Is that
just one between the two of them?
Yeah, exactly.
But Hove is just like a suburb of Brighton, isn't it?
Well, I guess. I don't think it's...
Add an L onto the end of that word, and that's what it really is.
Hey, come on. Hove's the posh bit. That's why there's the saying Hove actually.
Yeah, exactly.
People say you're from Brighton, and you go, "No, I'm from Hove actually."
Actually, yeah,
because that's what all the posh people say.
Oh, yeah. People who think that they're too posh for Brighton.
My dad calls
people
it
like
Hove.
Me.
My dad calls it Hove actually.
I don't know. I can't get my head around the fact that there's somewhere that's a little bit more posh than Brighton.
You can tell. It's really obvious because you walk from Brighton into Hove, and the cars change. You walk along. It'd be Old Church Road. And as you're walking along it, the cars get progressively more expensive.
Yeah, and the homeless people start expecting notes.
Yeah, exactly.
I like Portsmouth because if you're from Paulsgrove and you don't want to be, you say West Porchester. If you don't know this area, if you're saying you're from Porchester, that means it's fucking awful because Porchester's a dump as well.
Clues in the name, isn't it? Porchester. If it was Richchester, then you wouldn't have a problem.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's Port. Chester.
So what do you reckon about this Steam iOS shizzle?
It's got Roman Castle and everything.
What do you aside from Roman Castle?
Should we just do a geography podcast?
what do we think about this Steam iOS stuff? What's going to happen?
See, I don't really take part in all those bits of Steam. I really only use Steam for buying games that I'm never going to play that are really cheap.
You don't actually play them. That'd be ridiculous.
No. Yeah, I think eventually I would kind of like to see Steam get into the streaming market.
Yeah.
I think that they've got... I think if Steam did it, they'd do it right. And they already have like a captive market there. So yeah. I think if Steam decided to move into that, then they would crush all before them.
Oh, hell yeah. That definitely would.
But I know this might be like a first step towards that, but I think Apple are quite resistive to that sort of thing. That OnLive app still hasn't been approved for Apple.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know if it will happen for Apple. It would be interesting. Is it on Android as well? Or is it just iOS?
Yeah, no, it's on Android too.
Because that's obviously a lot more receptive to that.
Yeah, well, they don't really have any way to stop you, do they? Yeah. And you can also sync up Bluetooth controllers.
Yeah, but I mean, there's all the stuff with, like, GetJar and stuff as well, isn't there, for Android?
I have no idea what that is.
Well, it's like the Amazon Marketplace thing where you can buy, Android games off Amazon.
Yeah.
And then GetJar is, like, similar.
Oh, that's because, yeah. Because it wouldn't be like Android to fragment a marketplace.
Well, no, those games are still that stuff is still available on the normal Android marketplace as well. It's just you can buy it through a web browser kind of thing, and sometimes they have different sales.
Okay.
It's a bit cool. Weird, but it's cool. Yeah, so that's cool. I think it could be definitely interesting if Valve decide to get into that properly.
Yeah, and if they don't, if this is just sort of a way of controlling your Steam account from an Android phone or an iPhone, then all the better.
It's still just a nice thing to have.
Yeah, I would probably actually end up spending more money in the Steam sales.
Yeah. If they let you buy, in fact, they probably be allowed to, maybe, because Apple have that whole thing of if you buy stuff through an app, then they expect a cut.
Yeah, I suppose in-app purchases. Although,
but it's not really. But it's not really an in-app purchase is the thing, is it? So it
they also changed the regulations so that you're not allowed to have a link to an app, a store in your app, because the
Kindle app,
Amazon Kindle app, took the store thing out, and I wanted to buy an Amazon book because it's not on the iBook store, and it was massive effort. Yeah,
you have to go buy it on the web instead.
So I guess that's a win for Apple.
Mm. Indeed.
I wonder, though, interestingly, if they could bring out a Kindle Store app. Because then it's not an in-app purchase for that app. It goes into the other Kindle app.
Well, they have an Amazon app that I use all the time.
Exactly, and you can buy stuff through that. So I wonder if that would work. Be nice. Be a really sneaky way to circumvent Apple's restrictions. Yeah. But also, Apple are ridiculously rich, so they just do whatever they want. They just buy Amazon.
Yeah, and they have such a grip on the marketplace. Yeah.
What is it? They've now got $96.3 billion just kicking about.
Yeah, which basically means they can buy anything.
Well, someone pointed out they can now buy Greece. They have enough.
They could solve the world's economic problems.
They couldn't. The world's economic,
come on, Apple, you bunch of hippies.
The world's economic problems are much bigger than that, but they do have enough money now, I think, to buy out the whole of Greece if they wanted.
They have more liquid assets than the US government.
Yes, they do.
To be fair, if we combine, we've probably got enough to buy Greece.
Well, us four?
That's true.
Us four?
Yeah.
Probably.
Greece is only worth about £6 now.
I also do point out that the US government does have rather a lot in non-liquid assets.
Well, that's true.
And more nuclear warheads than Apple.
Wait, that's also true. You never fucking know. You don't know what's underneath that.
Well, true.
Although Apple probably has the means to disrupt them.
The I-bomb.
I always picture Apple as Massive Dynamic from Fringe.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how I picture Apple.
That's totally true.
That is a reference I do not understand. So that's a reference
do you not
I don't
watch
understand.
Fringe?
I've got the box that my mate lent it to me. I haven't started watching it yet.
Fucking watch it then.
I'm doing a podcast now, aren't I?
No, go away. Come back when you know what Massive Dynamic is.
In other news of buying things places, Microsoft's looking to phase out Microsoft points potentially. This is one of those things. There's been a lot of rumours this week about
in favour of what? Actual money?
Yeah.
Rather than the currency, which is completely independent of the exchange rates.
They're so forward thinking.
Yeah.
That is avant-garde.
Well, where to go for actual money. Which are the only thing, the problem then becomes so that they don't have consistent pricing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I might be the only person that's actually against this.
Really? I'm half against this because I do like the fact that they have. It's like if it's 800 points, it's 800 points everywhere. It's quite nice.
Well, I quite like that, and I quite like the fact that because it's Microsoft points and you can get it buying cards through shops, there was quite a lot of competition. So, 800 Microsoft points from Microsoft costs. I think that's a $10 equivalent, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, it's difficult to sell a £10 PlayStation card for any less than £10, isn't it?
Yeah, although some places do that now, I suppose. But there was an awful lot more competition on Microsoft points. So in the end, you could get like 2,100 point cards for like 16 quid sometimes, which is much cheaper than they should have been.
I mean, I have now actually found though that going direct through Microsoft is the cheapest approach I've found recently.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. It's got they're a little bit cheaper buying cards, but the issue then is I now have to have my credit card linked up to Microsoft, which I'm a bit dubious about. Yeah. But if I want to take it off, I have to ring them up. You have to actually ring customer support to get your credit card taken off.
That's why I never linked mine.
Yeah. Because Joe Anderson was trying to do it. And he says, you can take all the other ones off. If you've got, like, old ones or whatever still on there, you can take them off easily enough. But to take the active one off, I think it's if you've got it linked to a... weirdly, it's if they've charged that card for an Xbox Live subscription... Even if you turned auto renewal off, they still won't let you remove the card because the Xbox Live subscription is tied to that card, which is irritating.
Yeah, all that shit with Microsoft's online stuff is all a bit dodgy, I think.
Yeah, I need to, but I probably will ring them up and actually get it removed. Probably. Because there are good places that do instant codes anyway, and it's only a little bit more expensive than I've seen Microsoft points for, so it's not a big deal. So, you know, I think you're right. I thought it was very nice that it was consistent pricing everywhere. It was always a really nice touch to it.
And it ends up being, I don't know if maybe the strategy is to point out that it's cheaper than the PlayStation Network, but with the points and the competition that you can get in shops, it always ends up that the Xbox Live Arcade is always a little bit cheaper than the PlayStation Network.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they switch to using actual currency, then they might try and sort of match them a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then we'll end up having to pay a bit more.
Exactly.
Or they might just do it to make a point of, look, we're a bit cheaper than that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. I wonder if they're trying to do it to boost their sales. Because I think the initial thing was by obfuscating it, then people don't see it as real money. But I think it's now got the other way around, where it's obfuscated so much that people are like, well, I don't know how much that actually is. How much am I paying?
Which might be
putting people off. Because this obviously won't be a decision they've made just like on the spur of a moment in a board meeting. There'll have been like focus groups and shit for weeks.
Yeah, Major Nelson probably has a spreadsheet.
Yep.
I imagine he makes all the decisions.
just Major Nelson himself. Nothing to do with Steve Ballmer.
Oh, no.
No, all right.
No, not anymore. He just rubber stamps everything.
Steve Ballmer just runs around shouting developers at people.
Yep.
Okay.
He's in charge of the kidnapping operations.
Oh, well, clearly.
I'm hearing vague rumours that there might be a lot of layoffs coming at Future Publishing.
Really?
Yeah, which would be quite disturbing.
Well, that's because they can just offer jobs as prizes now. That's why.
That wasn't Future.
Wasn't
but
it?
Yeah, they. No, it was the people behind Playmag and Now Gamer.
I thought Now Gamer was Future.
No, I think, is it Imagine?
Oh, yeah, it is Imagine, because there's only two, isn't there?
Well, Dennis Publishing, are they still going, or did they go out of business?
No, I don't think so. I think it's all just Imagine and Future, and then they each have, like, 40 different brands and pretend they're unrelated.
Imagine's good. No, Future's the good one. Future's the one that does the official magazines.
I was going to say, what was the competition to win that prize? Make as many top 10 lists as physically possible.
Yeah. How many pictures of pixelated breasts can you find on the internet?
Did you ever really talk about the Kotaku Core thing? Because that was just made me laugh.
No, I don't think we spoke about it, but it was funny.
I thought it was a good idea, though. For those of you who don't know, Kotaku, a gaming website, now have created a subsection of their site specifically for games.
Yeah, which I think that's quite an imaginative way of dealing with everybody moaning that Kotaku's gone to shit.
Oh, yeah. But it did make me laugh that they spun off as some big thing, and you look at it and you go, this is just a category tag.
Yeah. This is what Kotaku looked like 3 or 4 years ago.
But it's literally what they've done is they've gone, well, what if we just tagged everything that is actually about games, and then we just show you a tag page? And you're like, oh, Jesus, you can't say this is an actual thing, can you? Christ.
Fair play, though. They announced it and they got plenty of publicity over it.
Oh, yeah, but it just made me a little bit sad because I was like, oh, this would be interesting. So maybe they could, like, spin off into more original, like, in-depth. No, it's exactly the same.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's just Kotaku, but without the weird fashion advice and the Japanese schoolgirls.
is Kotaku without articles about Twinkies for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I don't like Gawker either, since we're just slagging off publishers. I don't like Gawker.
I like some Gawker sites.
IO9.
Yeah, IO9's awesome.
Yeah, IO9's the only one that I'll actually look at because it's got loads of interesting weird stuff.
And
it.
No, I think Gizmodo's all right sometimes.
I realise that Gizmodo IO9 is the first sound I've made in the last 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Actually a robot now.
But Gizmodo's pretty solid as well sometimes.
Do not like.
No?
No. Just not a fan of Gizmodo.
I mean, I like
Engadget.
I like Engadget and The Verge.
Yeah, I think there's far better alternatives to Gizmodo, and I don't like the way Gizmodo are just really whining about things sometimes.
I just like the thing with the Apple stuff. Apple conference live blogging.
Yeah, the only thing I found with Gizmodo is that they are first with news occasionally, which is the only time I ever look at them.
Yeah.
Is because I just follow them on Twitter, and they're like, oh, we have this news first. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting, let's go have a look.
It's good to know your exact thought processes.
Yeah, cheers.
Yeah, I thought people would like to know just how my brain gets there.
That's what your Twitter account's for, isn't it?
That's largely what my Twitter account is, I'll give you that.
How many tweets have you got now, Chris, do you know?
Oh, it's probably like 70,000, I'd imagine. Must be getting up.
Jesus Christ.
70,000 tweets.
Let me see. Well, it was 60,000 a little while ago, so...
Yeah, well, logically, numbers...
do get bigger.
Increase in that direction, don't
you? I haven't gone back and just deleted a load, so... I should just fuck with people's heads and go, like, all the way back to the very start and just start deleting...
I don't think anyone would care.
Video stuff.
I'm
very close to 70,000. 69,985.
Wow. Ooh! 15, so you'll be 70,000 by the end of the evening, then?
Yeah, I would imagine so. Oh, I best tweet about that. I'm nearly at 70,000.
Yeah, the sad thing is that wasn't a joke from Chris.
No, I was not actually going to tweet about that. Naughty Dog are making next generation games.
What'd you call me?
So, there's been a lot of rumors about There's been a lot of rumors about next gen this week.
Yeah, that's because the next gen is coming.
Yeah, it's not. It's a lie. Just pretending.
Right. Who's Jen?
Oh dear, I don't know. I used to have a girlfriend called Jen.
Yeah, and you're a rather lovely girl called Jen. She's very nice.
Got a cousin called Jen. If that's what we're doing.
Mm. No, mine was a crazy bitch.
Oh. Yeah. In an odd connection, actually. In an odd connection with TSA, it was Jen Carroll. So, there you are. Odd connections.
There you go.
That's Alex's surname for anyone who's not up to speed.
Yeah.
I didn't mean you, I meant our listeners, because they're a bit thick.
Who?
yeah, so Naughty Dog are making a game next generation, probably Uncharted 4. Or Uncharted Kart Racer.
Uncharted.
Oh, yes! Obviously.
Have you thought about that before?
Yes.
I was going to say that very quick.
He was waiting for it.
I have thought about that quite a lot.
I just imagine...
It would be brilliant!
You've just got like a pun list on your wall, and you've just like crossed it off.
Check! Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, God. Yeah,
I can't imagine a Carter set like in a realistic universe.
Yeah, but it's...
Right,
but
it, okay.
But it's following the Naughty Dog pattern.
Yeah, just think MotorStorm, but Sully's driving the monster truck.
Yeah, pretty cool.
There you go.
Uncarted Drift Deception.
And you have a plane, and you race trains.
I had a really good idea for a game the other day
where
you have to build your own flying machines and you just start off with like a box and an engine and then you get further and get money and then use it to buy more parts to build your flying machines and then so you can get the furthest.
You mean like Aviator on iOS?
Oh, shut up.
Is that an actual game?
No.
I'm sure that's a game. I'm sure
I
played that.
Spoil Kev's fun, that was all.
Because I was listening to Kev explaining that, thinking that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be quite sad if it was already a game. Not that I'd probably make it anyway, because I don't...
And there's your name for it. That was a good name.
It had to be like, ooh, super physics-y. It'd be cool.
Yeah. Hey, listener, tell us if there's already a game that does that, and if not, I'll make it and won't give anyone any royalties.
It does...
You might want to patent that as soon as you finish recording.
Yeah.
yeah.
Next to the news.
Surely
no...
the fact that it's recorded counts as...
That's prior art, yeah.
Prior art thing, yeah.
Oh, Jesus, you're actually going to take this to court?
Well, no, I'm just saying, you know, if people are going to start...
all you have to do is means you have to knock up a prototype by Monday and then there's prior art.
That's all right, I'm learning Unity, I'll do it now.
Well, don't do it now.
Yeah, not right now.
Do a podcast and then go and watch Fringe and then do it.
Yeah.
I'm not made of time.
Oh, you are.
You should probably make that game as well.
I should make a game where you're made of time.
I had another idea for a game where you control these twins, either cooperatively one at a time, and one controls time and one controls space, sort of teleporting and slowing down.
I once saw DVDs where you could control twins.
I think that's different.
The last bit of news we have is there's no BlizzCon this year. Fanboys are crying.
Aww.
Poor Blizzard fanboys.
Yeah, is that no just BlizzCon. A World of Warcraft?
No, because there's also like StarCraft and Diablo. And that's what makes it a bit odd, is because Diablo is meant to be out this year, isn't it?
But that's why they said that they were putting it off, because they've got the next StarCraft game's out this year. Diablo's coming out.
Oh, so they're too busy actually making games.
Yeah, and they've just released the big panda thing for World of Warcraft.
Yeah, that made me want to play World of Warcraft again. Pandas.
Yeah, that they put pandas in it.
I know.
It's weird. No, oh, and they've got something else as well. They're working on the World of Warcraft follow-up thing.
Oh, it's Titan or something is what it's named. Yeah.
Something.
I imagine BlizzCon would be the most bizarre place in the world to go.
Yeah, it would be like the cantina in...
It would just... I mean, Eurogamer had a couple, but BlizzCon would just be like that times 5 million.
Yeah. Couple of those crazy weirdos that go dressed up in costumes.
Yeah, no offense, that dude from TSA that went as Liquid Snake.
Yeah,
he doesn't listen anyway.
You mean Kev, who went dressed as Nathan Drake?
Oh yeah,
sort of what I was alluding to. That's all right though, because he's just a man in clothes, so fairly easy to dress.
Yeah,
I don't really understand cosplay.
Not outside the bedroom.
I think the whole making costumes, I can get my head around that. I can't get my head around people dressing up as them and going out in public.
Mm. What about Renaissance fairs and that sort of thing?
Yep, don't understand that either.
What about LARPing?
Do you have to wear costumes for it?
Yeah, you have to be everything in LARPing.
LARPing's so good.
Can I suppose that Kev does that as well?
I don't think he does. I think has done. Is more accurate.
You tried to get me to
LARPing,
go.
LARPing, basically, you become centuries ago.
I was an elf.
Yeah.
I slay many undead.
Which by Lewis's interpretation, means they were elves many centuries ago.
Of course they were. Have you not read Lord of the Rings?
I'd also like to point out that I'm just playing with my Batman torch at the moment while recording.
I've just realised that Kev is, like, the geekiest person I know.
Aw, thanks.
You are so lucky that you were born with those looks.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the geekiest person
every
I know.
Day.
But he's also, like, super middle class, so it's a bit weird.
A geek's not allowed to be middle class?
No.
Can a geek not enjoy a cafetiere once in a while?
No, you're meant to eat, like, Skittles.
Oh, God, no. Hey, I went to the theatre the other day.
Jesus.
The theatre?
Yeah, the theatre. It was pretty sweet.
What did you see?
I saw One Man, Two Governors, starring James Corden. It was actually very good.
Oh, everyone will see that. It looks really good.
Bloody good. I mean, yeah. I mean, really.
Well, I was going to see it because they did the thing at the Duke of York Cinema where they, like, broadcast it live.
Yes. Yeah, we saw Frankenstein at the Duke of York's.
Anyway, this is all a bit...
Oh, what, the Danny Boyle one?
I don't know. It starred Benedict Cumberbatch, though.
Alternate, so night...
Yeah, he was the monster in the one...
Danny Boyle's one.
Yeah, it was really good.
I'm sorry, I think I'm on the wrong podcast.
We are half an hour into this podcast now.
Yeah. Still just on the news.
I'm excited. My friend from America is leaving America and coming here.
Oh, I hated him, really. I'm all excited now.
Oh.
I'm all excited now.
Leaving America to come back to the UK.
Yeah, well, she's Scottish, but she lives in Texas at the minute, but she's coming for a visit for a couple of weeks.
Jesus Christ.
Just for a visit, that's okay.
She's Scottish living in Texas?
Yeah.
She'll be burnt to a crisp.
Yeah, what is she, a vampire?
No, she's lived her...
Surely she can't survive more than 10 minutes of direct sunlight.
She's lived there a few years now, so she's alright. But she works in Starbucks, and she always gets asked if she's Irish.
Oh my god, I love your Irish
accent.
It's a good
fact.
Yeah. Next on the list is Chris's crazy enemy rant, but I've kind of calmed down a bit now, so
cool.
Don't really need to do that so much.
Chris's crazy enemy rant?
Rant.
Yes, that's how we say rant.
Who's middle class?
No,
I'm going on a rant.
I mean, she went...
I've had enough.
I'm so angry, I just have to rant.
apparently, did you see Tough Cub came up with another word I can't say?
Oh, really?
Let me find it.
Can't.
Let me see.
I think it's just rent.
Now,
isn't it
was.
Yeah, rent. Apocalypse.
Apparently, I can't say Mythbusters, right?
Mythbusters. Myth.
MIFF. What's. Here's a
question. But that relates to your inability to say TH.
Yeah, probably.
What is the armor that Frodo wears made of?
What?
It's a question for Chris. What is the armor that Frodo. It's a simple question, simple enough. What's the armor made of?
I don't know. I read The Hobbit, but it was a while ago, and I've only seen...
Oh, Bilbo hands it down, so not a problem.
Yeah, but I was, like, 10.
It's a chainmail type armour.
Oh, God. You really aren't geeky enough, are you?
I'm sorry.
Mithril. Mithril armour.
But my geekiness lies more in comics and sci-fi than fantasy.
Yeah, anyway, Mithril. Say Mithril. That's all I wanted.
Mithril.
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 That's probably the most masculine I've ever heard you, and I wouldn't have expected it to come from the word mithril.
Sounds like a hot drink made out of boiled animals.
Oh, yeah.
Mithril.
Delicious.
Mithril. 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 Muffin rail.
Mithril.
Muffins. Muffins.
Muffin man. Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man!
Yes, I know the Muffin Man.
He lives down your way.
Not the gumdrop buttons!
So, Petey, you've been playing Quarrel.
I have been playing Quarrel.
You notice how I was just like, I'm not even going to try and move it, just snap back. Yeah, so Petey, tell us about Quarrel.
It's a word game. Kind of strategy game, kind of. It's kind of like a mix between Risk and
Scrabble. You seem quite uncertain about what it is.
It's quite hard to explain. It's been out on iOS for a long time. I was doing some research because I wrote the review. I think it was originally intended to be an XBLA game, and then they didn't get it cleared past Microsoft, so they ended up just switching development to the iPhone. So then it's been out on iPhone for a couple of years now, I think. And finally, I think a publisher picked them up or something, and they've sort of retuned it for the XBLA, and it finally came out this week. But it's kind of like you get a board with different tiles on it, and you're up to four players, and you have to take control of the whole board, basically, by invading your enemy's tiles. But
Risk.
Yeah, it's very much like Risk. But then once you attack an enemy, it's not just based on numbers or dice throws or any of that. Once you attack an enemy, it comes down to you get an 8-letter anagram at the bottom of the screen. And if you attack with 4 soldiers, then you can make words up to 4 letters long. And if you attack with 6 soldiers, you can up to 6 letters long and up to 8 soldiers. So obviously the more soldiers you have, the better words you can make or the longer words you can make. If your opponent only has like 3 soldiers, then they can only make 3-letter words. So you get an advantage that way. But then it all comes down to making these anagrams out of the
My brain is not wired up for anagrams at all. I absolutely suck at anagrams.
You see, I'm not very good at anagrams either, but it's not a word. You don't get a word, you just get the 8 letters.
Right.
And there is an 8-letter word, or at least 1 8-letter word in each one. But because you're usually making like a 4-letter word or a 5-letter word, it's not really an anagram. It's kind of just like making a word out of a Scrabble rack.
It's like Countdown.
Yeah, kind of. But it's really, really good. And it's really well tuned and it's really well presented. It gets very, very difficult. But yeah, it's really quite entertaining, and it's really cheap too. It's 400 Microsoft points.
Which, what's that called?
Quarrel.
Ooh.
Mm. It's 400 Microsoft points, which is roughly about £3, I think. Very roughly.
That's pretty good.
Cool.
So yeah, and it's online multiplayer, and you can play up to 4 people, or you can play up 4 people in the same room, or you can play one just on your own against 4 computer-controlled AI people. So yeah, it's really, really good.
So is there an iPad and, version then?
I don't know if it's an iPad or just the iPhone.
Mm. Obviously not, but being an Xbox owner. Sounds quite good. Quite fancy having a look, but I don't really want to play it on my phone.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I've got my iPad beside me, so I'd look it up.
Thanks.
But yeah, it is definitely worth a look.
Cool.
Indeed. Most cool. Lewis, you have been playing Skyrim again, and I felt as we have cut off your Skyrim talk in previous weeks, that we'd let you talk as much as you would like about Skyrim.
This could take a long time.
I'm fine with that.
Yes, I've still been playing hours and hours of Skyrim, and I still love it. It has crashed my PS3 several times now, though. Like a couple of times, one after the other, and that got a bit tedious and annoying. But when it loaded again, I forgot all about it and fell back in love with it. Don't know what to say, really. I've done loads.
What happens in it?
Quite a lot. I'm now leader of the Dark Brotherhood Assassins. I'm the ruler of... Not ruler. I'm the leader of the Thieves Guild. Which does make me think, you know, how much time can one person have to be, like, the leader of all these organisations?
Hmm.
And none of the other organisations know that you're the leader of another one, do they? Like, the Thieves don't know that you're in with the Dark Brotherhood.
No, and they don't know I'm in with the Thieves, and then people... I'm Thane of a couple of cities. They don't know that I'm just a devious assassin criminal.
Yeah, you can be head of the Thieves Guild, and also, like, the world's greatest hero. Yeah. And nobody cares.
Wow. You think that kind of that dirt would come out on you once you get famous?
It is good though. I am still absolutely loving it. I started to think a few levels back that the, you know, it's the same with all those types of games like Fallout and all that lot. You start off the game scared of everything. Like I saw the first time I saw a frost troll or a giant, I shit myself and run the other way because you just have no chance. But you get to a point where you end up becoming fearless. Even when dragons came up, I got to the point where I was like, yeah, bring it on, dragon. And I started to think it's sort of plateaued out too quickly. But now that I'm just short of level 40 and it's picked up now, they've given me elder dragons, which are fucking mental, and loads more extremely strong sort of enemy types. So they have now increased the difficulty again. Which I thought was needed, because it started to get a bit samey.
And what way do you play? What, are you magic or?
It depends what I'm doing. I do have quite a high magic skill, but I do prefer sneaking with enchanted bow.
Oh.
And I am quite adept with two-handed weapons and dual single-handed weapons.
Oh, that's completely the opposite of the way I could go. I go, well, my main character that I played through for the review, I went one-handed and magic, destruction magic in the other hand.
Oh, right.
I hardly ever use a bow.
See, I never use a weapon and magic. I either use two magic, two weapons, one weapon, like a two-handed weapon, or I sneak with a bow. When I go into caves and dungeons and stuff, I normally go in sneaky with the bow ready because I've got a really high archery skill and a really strong enchanted bow. So if I sneak in there, my sneak's really high as well, so I can pick them off, and they normally die within the first shot because you get a massive bonus for sneak attacks.
Sneak bonus. See, I don't really do sneaking either, but I just started a new game this week. I've only played like maybe 45 minutes of it, but I just started a new game because I want to. The way I tend to play those games is I get like halfway through and I've kind of leveled up certain areas.
Yeah, yeah.
But then halfway through I change my mind and want to do something different.
See, that's the thing. I've got to the point now where things like alteration, illusion, magic, they're really low level because I just never use them. Whereas destruction's really high, and then things like smithing, heavy armor, and one-handed and two-handed are really high. So I've just ignored certain portions of the gameplay, like I say, like the illusion and conjuration and that sort of thing. I've ignored that magic, and I don't really know. I've got shitloads of spells and stuff, but I hardly ever use them. Because I either plow in there and just take them all out, or, like I say, I'll sneak.
Yeah, I tend to just run in. Mm. One-handed and magic on the other hand. But this new character, I was thinking I was just going to do him all magic.
Yeah. It depends, though, because when you do the Dark Brotherhood quests, you get bonuses for being sneaky. The whole point of it is that you're a stealthy assassin that doesn't get seen. So that encourages that side of it. I've just completed a mission for a Daedric princess who told me to go in and kill her current champion because he made her unhappy and, like, you become the new champion. But in order to complete that mission, you have to clear a settlement and a cave completely unnoticed. So you have to be stealthy, whether that be with a bow or magic or whatever, but you can't be seen. So that was a really good quest, and it's a good way of stretching the gameplay out as well, because that took about half hour to complete because you've been really careful about not being seen. But I'm just absolutely amazed by the whole size of it, the size of the game, the number of quests, and like I said last week, the mythology behind it, it's just so immense that it's nothing but impressive, really, for me personally.
Have you? You can get all the books on, like, the iPad, can't you? Have you looked at that?
What? All the books that you see in the game?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my god, I have read a couple. They do, like, when you pick them up, because if you read certain ones, they give you they upgrade your skills. There are a couple of funny ones, but most of them I just check to see if they're upgrading books. If they're not, I chuck them down. And even if they are, 9 times out of 10, I just open them to get the skill and then chuck them down again.
Yeah, no, but apparently there was apps released for the iPad and for Android that has all the books, all the literature from the game.
It's quite a nice touch. I probably wouldn't do it. I probably wouldn't read it. There are, like I say, there are a couple that are quite funny. But the fact that they've got so many is another, just another addition to it that makes it feel absolutely complete. The variety of missions probably is starting to pick up, actually. I don't know if it's just because of the way I was playing it, and the ones that I was choosing to do first were quite similar, but they're starting to get a bit more varied now. I haven't had to clear Draugr out for a while, which is a breath of fresh air. I just absolutely love it. I think it's just an immense game.
Cool.
Yeah, me too.
And the art style and everything to it is amazing as well. Like, seeing all the dragons pop up during the loading screens and stuff is quite quite inspiring to get me sort of doing art again. And also, it makes me want to write a fantasy. I think I've got the imagination for it. I probably haven't got the patience for it, but I like the idea of writing, it's like Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, anything like that. I think they've just got such massive sort of mythology to them that you can't help but be inspired by it and want to create something that dynamic. So that's my view on Skyrim.
Cool. What was the first guild that you said you're a member of?
I've got loads. I'm the leader of the Dark Brotherhood.
Of?
The Dark Brotherhood.
Yeah, of what?
No, it's just called the Dark Brotherhood.
Yeah, but what are they?
They're a group of assassins.
Oh, it's funny you should say that, talking about brotherhoods and assassins. It's pretty smooth, right?
Why, what have you been doing now?
Oh, I've been playing a bit of Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on.
Big time.
That was a good link.
Thanks. Made all the smoother for your cooperation. Thanks.
You can get Quarrel for free on the iPad.
Wow.
It's a universal app, so it works on the iPad and the iPhone.
Cool.
There is a deluxe version that costs £1.99, but I can't work out what the difference is between the two.
Probably no ads.
Fair enough.
Yeah, the deluxe version might be not ad-supported.
I might get that.
Cool.
I like word games.
Your mum's not ad-supported.
She is.
She'd have to be subsidised. My mum's a munter.
Bumper stickers on her leg.
And you kiss her with that mouth.
No.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, she's a munter. Your words, not mine. That was a quote. That was a quote. Everyone calm down. Yeah, I was getting Larry. Look, I said calm down.
Yeah, Peter was laughing about it. I'm not too sure what you're worrying about, Kev.
If anything, we're just getting angry about your telling us to calm down.
Are you?
No, not really.
I can't believe you're trying to be the voice of reason, Kev.
Yeah. I'm to be honest, I'm livid.
So, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. I got that for Christmas. I've been giving it a good go. I've had a little bit more time to play games this week than usual, so I've been hammering it. I've just passed the fifth memory sequence for those of you who have played. For those of you who haven't, it's pretty much the same as the previous game, at least Brotherhood, if not Assassin's Creed 2. But it's set in Constantinople, which of course these days is better known as Istanbul. So you geography buffs.
Or Muppets fans.
Yeah. Fine.
Is it not Constantinople?
You what, sorry?
No.
Istanbul, not Constantinople.
That's exactly right, Chris. Thanks. See? At least Chris got the Muppets reference.
Thanks very much. moving on.
How did you find the opening of the game?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Like, I think I'm quite pleased that they're focusing more on the Ezio stuff than on the kind of present day stuff, because I think that's weaker this time around. If that's what you're alluding to.
Yeah, I kind of meant more the way it sort of throws you right into set pieces straight away, with the whole coach racing bit.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I didn't really like the coach racing bit. I didn't feel like I was controlling it very well, but I thought that wasn't necessarily my fault. I just felt like it was a bit forced upon me, and
there
hasn't really been any set pieces like that.
No, I thought that the opening was just a little bit strange because it was so restrictive, whereas the Assassin's Creed experience is about everything being open.
Yeah.
I just thought it was quite an odd way of opening the game.
No, I agree. That chariot race was a bit sort of misplaced, almost. Like, you wouldn't expect it to be there if it was in the game at all, kind of right at the beginning when you start. At the beginning. Funny that. too self-critical. So, yes, it's really good. I'm actually enjoying it probably as much as I enjoyed Brotherhood. I find that, actually, in the previous ones, I quite wanted to keep coming back to the 21st century storyline. But actually, this time, I'm quite happy to just stick being Ezio and of course Altair, as those of you who have read anything about the game will have heard, and those bits are quite cool as well, because I'm not going to spoil it, but you get to see bits of Altair's life that you didn't see in the first game, and obviously it's all using the newer engine and newer graphics and everything, so that's pretty cool. I think the story, I think the fact that Ezio is quite old is nice. It's a bit Metal Gear, but there's a line where he goes, oh, I remember when all this used to be so easy or something, after he's just climbed up a water feature on some massive tower or something, I don't know. But yeah, quite cool. It's been out for a while, so I don't really know what people want to hear about it. But yeah, if you haven't got it, you should, because it's good.
I have it, but I haven't played it.
Yeah, I have it too, but I have only played the first couple of chapters.
How do you feel about it?
I would really like to get back to playing it. I thought the opening was a bit weird, like I was saying, with the set pieces being a little bit too... I thought it was a little bit too restrictive and not really what I want from an Assassin's Creed game. Mm. I think the point where I stopped playing was just at the point where they arrive in Constantinople.
Oh, right.
So it hasn't really opened up for me yet.
Yeah, I mean, and the environment is massive. It's so big. Like, I think if you could maybe give it a chapter or two, then you'd really get sucked back in.
I really like Ezio as a character. Mm. I really thought he was a very compelling character. very interesting, and all the extra little bits that it throws at you, like little bits of history and stuff that it throws at you.
Yeah.
I always thought I really liked those from the Assassin's Creed games. I just haven't had the time to get back to it yet.
Yeah.
But I fully intend to.
Yeah, it's well worth it, I'd say.
And it has the coolest box.
Yeah, it does have a cool box.
The black box that it comes in. Very cool.
Mm. Although the sort of OCD in me doesn't really like it not matching the rest of the boxes that I've got. But I've got a couple of blue ones that stick out like a sore thumb as well. So
I think the 360 one just comes in a 360 box.
Does it?
Or at least the... Well, I think I've got a press copy though, haven't I? So.
Have you played any of it, Chris?
No, it's still sealed.
Mm.
I haven't had any time. I only got it because Peter sent it to me about a couple of weeks ago.
Fair enough.
Any time. And I've got to play... I was going to play it this weekend, but other game I need to play, I think, is coming that I can't say because it's probably tied up in legal stuff. yes, I have a game playing that I need to play for review. A game playing?
Yeah,
a
I
game,
still haven't
a
put...
Game, a game coming I need to play for review, so I probably won't be able to play anything that I just have kicking about for backlog.
I still haven't played Uncharted 3. I haven't even put it in the PlayStation yet. And I know all of you don't think it's as good as the old ones.
Is that why you're a bit hesitant?
Well, no, I'm hesitant because I want to finish Assassin's Creed, otherwise I know I'll play Uncharted 3 and then something new will come out and then I'll never end up finishing Assassin's Creed, so I'd quite like to finish that before I move on.
Mm.
That's another thing I'd quite like to get back to Uncharted 3. I still haven't revisited that.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm okay to stop talking about Assassin's Creed now.
Who's beeping?
Beep, 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 beep.
Chris is reversing.
Oh dear.
Sorry, Chris.
So, the Justice League is a thing.
Yeah, they make comics with characters from it in called that.
Yeah. Kev, why do you look so stern in your picture?
I'm a tough guy.
And Peter's not a picture anymore. This makes me sad.
He's just
a logo.
In my picture, yeah. I was trying to make it look like I had massive arms, even though it's actually just at the top of my arms, quite sort of held out on my sides. I don't know if that came across at all.
No, I got what you were going for. I saw it. I picked it out there. You know.
A tough guy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, what's going on? No, what's going on?
Yeah. Chills. Chills. Which Justice League are you going to talk about? Issue 4 or issue 5?
The newest one.
Because it didn't come to England, you know, on time.
Oh, I have it.
Did you hear about this?
It happens sometimes.
On the Wednesday, when it was meant to be delivered, just England didn't get any.
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
Can I still get it through my iPad app?
Yeah, you can get it through that.
So I've read 4, which is Aquaman's one.
Oh. 5 is quite good, but a little bit weird. I can talk about Spider-Man instead of do that. Yeah, so Amazing Spider-Man is pretty awesome. So it's a new two-part story. So for those of you who aren't following Spider-Man at the minute, Peter Parker is working at this place called Horizon Labs, which is, it is like this super cutting edge think tank. So it's like so cutting edge to the extent that he's testing where they have people's experiments, which is, he's installed a doorway that goes to exactly 24 hours into the future.
Okay,
as
you do.
So, like, it basically it's like the kitchen at the office is 24 hours into the future. And then what they do is they go through and then they come back and they see it's all exploded on the other side. So they look at it and they go... because they realise that it's not actually time travel, that by going into the future and then coming back, you are effectively missing for 24 hours. Sort of you skip a day, is how it works. And so because Peter Parker skipped a day, Spider-Man missed something, and it caused the world to end. Or at least New York to kind of get blown, the whole in New York to get blown up. And sort of, so they see this, and then they have a copy of the Bugle, the Daily Bugle, which is the fictional newspaper in the Spider-Man universe. And, from before everything got blown up, so they were going through it and like looking for any reference to Spider-Man. and doing sort of all the things he did in the original timeline to try and ensure it happened again, and that would think got blown up. And then at the end, it's a cliffhanger. But I thought it was quite an interesting concept, really. I quite liked it that he's trying to... It's almost like the Groundhog Day type thing. We are trying to have a perfect day. So he kind of has this day where he has to do everything that the paper says, and in the paper, he's had this ridiculous day, sort of like beat... Because there's a few funny bits where they say that he... beats Daredevil's record by getting more than 8 purse snatches in one day and little things like that. And I thought it was a pretty amusing comic, but it was it's a really interesting issue. And I really like this concept of like knowing that there's this cataclysm that's going to happen, but you don't know what caused it, and trying to stop it somehow. I think that's a really interesting idea.
No,
go loose, it's fine. You had a question.
I was just going to say, does the does the time travel aspect not sort of fit in with Spider-Man universe, or is it quite sci-fi? Like, I know it's sci-fi, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
time travel seems a step too far for Spider-Man.
It does fit in because like this place he's working at is like this super cutting edge lab. And you're also talking about a universe where they have like the Fantastic Four in the same universe who travel to alternate dimensions and that kind of thing. So clearly science is like a little bit more advanced. And so they're basing stuff off like Reed Richards papers and that kind of thing. I would say, although like cutting edge science is a lot more advanced, it's this interesting thing actually where sort of the general level of technological advancement in Marvel is roughly our own, but the cutting edge science is much beyond our own. And that's actually an interesting thing with sort of like they're not, these big ideas aren't really trickling down to smaller people. But that's happening a bit in Iron Man, where, because you know, Iron Man sort of has these, like the repulsor gloves, his weapons are called repulsors. And they're using that same technology now to power cars and that kind of thing. Which is, I think, quite interesting. And then starting to build, in the latest issue of Iron Man, they were building a flak jacket that's based on sort of Iron Man's force field technology.
This is a really cool. Expensive week for comics.
I spent £50 this week.
Jesus H. Christ, what?
But I was a bit skint last week, so I had like 6 books from last week as well.
How much does an average comic book cost?
£2.10 is the cheapest. So there are typically two prices because it's all priced in dollars. So you have $2.99 and $3.99. And the conversion rate in my local shop is that $2.99 comics are £2.10 and the ones that are $3.99 are £2.80.
I just bought
That's a fucking shitload of comics.
I just bought Superman, Aquaman, and The Flash that were all came out this week.
Yes.
They were $1.99 each on the iPad, and Justice League was $2.49.
Yeah, well, it's...
So I just bought those 4 comics for less than £10 and thought, holy shit, it's a really expensive comic week.
Yeah.
You've spent 50 quid on comics.
Yeah, but I have quite a lot.
Christ, but I haven't spent 50 quid on
I tend to read them all.
You tend to.
I probably have 30
We might have to stage an intervention.
I think I have 30 where do you put this them all? Week. My room is just comics.
But, like, what's going to happen if you keep doing that? There's not going to be any room. It's just going to be comics.
No, because I'm going to buy a bed and then the old comics can go under the bed and it'll be fine.
Maybe you should burn them in a ritual sacrifice.
I probably won't do that.
Cleanse yourself of the comic universe.
When you get a house of your own, is there just going to be a comic room?
It'd be quite
my
nice.
My uncle pretty much has one of those.
It'd be nice. It probably wouldn't be a whole room, but I would probably have like a bookcase or two.
I don't know. Give it a couple of weeks. At that rate.
It'd be nice. Like I said, I have a bookcase that has like all my collected editions on, and then I could have more kind of like a shelving unit. And then most of the people I know who are very, like, there are people who are much more hardcore collectors than I am. And they tend to have, like, boxes broken down by year or by series are the two ways.
Are you thinking of shops? Comic book shops.
No, there are people who have.
Are you thinking of Marvel's Dispatch Warehouse?
There are people who have rooms like that.
Would you ever consider switching to digital?
I bought Batman, not Detective Comics, just Batman, number 4, I think. And I bought that digitally, and I did read it, but I just don't like digital as much.
Mind you, that you probably read that on your phone, presumably.
Yeah, if I had an iPad, it would be a better experience.
Yeah.
But I still prefer physical, really. Like, in the same way I prefer physical.
Yeah, I know what
books
you mean. I mean, I buy
well.
Physical comics, but I buy one a month, so...
Yeah.
£2.80 a month isn't that much compared to your...
To be fair, for the last couple of weeks, I have got it... So for the 2 weeks before this week, I'd got it down to 5 issues a week. But there was quite a lot this week. But then I've been looking at stuff, and there's stuff that's ending because DC have dropped a load of books from the New 52, but they've replaced them with new ones. But the ones they've replaced them that because it's in March, I think they're replacing him. But the ones that they're replacing him with aren't stuff I really want to buy. And then there's a couple of storylines like Batgirl's ended now, so we're not getting that. Well, not ended, but the first storyline from Batgirl's over. First storyline from Superman, I think, is about to end, which I won't get because that's absolutely terrible. There's a couple of things for sort of the first storylines ending, and I'm happily dropping off it. Yeah, so there.
Madness.
Well, I'd got it down to before this week, the last 2 weeks. Well, I didn't buy last week's, but I'd added them up and they were £26 for 2 weeks worth of comics, which is pretty good for me.
That's just insane. I can't, it's just mad.
But I think next week's quite expensive, but that's because there's it's like a collection of stories book, and I want that, but it's $7.99. Because it's the one I was talking about last week, The Massive by Brian Wood. And I really want that. And that's in that. That's where it's launching. So I'm getting that, even though it's really expensive.
It's really difficult to hear you over the Family Guy music that's just started happening on my computer.
It's just started happening.
Why is your computer making Family Guy music?
I've been invited to do the Family Guy online beta.
You don't have to do that, like, right now.
I just got an email saying it starts in 10 minutes and it goes for 4 hours this evening.
Peter, I love you.
Why? Well, why don't?
Was it you? Who linked that? Was it?
Oh, yeah, no, that was
yeah. yes.
Fucking idiots.
So
for our listeners, that's just I just found an image on Twitter that somebody posted. That's the spine for Resident Evil Revelations on the 3DS. Which, this is the retail code which has gone out to reviewers, but it's sealed retail North American code, and they have misspelled Revelations down the spine.
Wow.
Revelaitons. Revelaitons. Fucking idiots.
Maybe it's a mashup. Resident Evil versus Professor Layton.
I would play that game.
Oh, yeah. Don't joke. Capcom will have Professor Layton in one of their fighting games.
Oh, imagine him. He'd be like, I've admit my words.
Is that it? Yeah.
That's what they should do for the Leighton Ace. Oh, what'd you call that? Fuck, that's just going out of my head completely. The lawyer. I can't believe that name's just gone completely out of my head.
I don't know who you mean. By
Ace Attorney.
Yeah.
And he's got a fucking name. That's really annoying.
Why don't you just look up Ace Attorney?
Yeah, I have done. Phoenix Wright. Christ. Obviously this joke's now going to lose a little bit of its punch. But for the game they do now, for Phoenix Wright and Perez Layton are going to be in a game together, they should just make that a fighting game.
I'd probably play that.
So it's just those two. There are two characters.
I'd play that, definitely. I've told you about comic books. Lewis, would you like to do about how I buy too many? I know I buy too many, shut up, whatever. Lewis, do you have a film competition?
No.
Okay.
I've got a quiz, but not a competition.
Do you tell us about Ned's? I think we've got time.
Yeah. I watched Ned's whenever. Yeah.
Recently, at some point.
Stands for non-educated delinquents. And it's set in the 70s. It's a Scottish film. And it's a very gritty, very violent sort of film about a young boy who starts off as a very high achiever, top of the class throughout school, and then he moves up to secondary school, and he's still top of the class. But when he gets to about 16, he goes off for summer one year and sort of befriends a gang and basically just spirals spectacularly out of control. Becomes an ultra-violent gang member, and it's just very, very dark and very gritty film. And he, it's a bit like Bronson mixed between This Is England. He just goes mental. Basically, he comes from quite a broken home. His dad's quite abusive. And his brother is a ultra-violent sort of gang member as well. So that's all going against him. And it's a bit of a weird one because he starts off as, you know, a really promising young lad. And when he starts going downhill, you feel sorry for him because he's been caught up in the wrong sort of life. But then he gets to a point where you think, this isn't just being misguided. This is something deeper within him. You know, you don't become that much of a violent person just because you've been guided wrong, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, certainly.
That's something within you coming out. And it gets to a point where he just doesn't give a fuck about dying, so he sellotapes two massive knives to his hands, and takes his top off and just goes after this rival gang. He doesn't give a fuck. He will stab anyone, do whatever. And then there comes a point in the film where he wants to sort of turn it round. And whether or not he does, I'll let you see, because I don't want to ruin it. So you end up actually not liking him. You feel really sorry for his victims. Like, there's one bloke in particular that he beats the crap out of and then does something extremely horrible to, in quite a nasty scene. And then later on you see that victim and what the effects of that attack were, and you can't help but feel extremely sorry for the victim.
No.
So then you just think, you're a violent little shit. So yeah, it's an absolute brilliant film. The only thing I will say is, and I don't wish to offend anyone, but because it's a Scottish film set in Scotland and what have you, there was a point where I nearly put the subtitles on. There are a couple of points there were a couple of sentences where I thought, right, I genuinely did not understand a word you just said.
I did spend half of watching Kiddlehood and Adulthood. I spent half of that translating for my wife.
I don't know. Luckily, I don't think it was anything to do with an important story plot. But yeah, other than that, you do start getting the gist of it. But at the beginning, you do think, am I going to be able to watch this with understanding it all? But other than that, it's an absolutely fantastic film. Really good. I'd seen it advertised last year, but I didn't really know what to expect of it. And I was pleasantly surprised by it. Like I said, it's not a very cheerful, light-hearted film. It is quite dark and depressing.
And of course, but Ned's is what Scottish people call chavs.
Oh, right, that would make sense.
Apparently. So I'm told. Blair tells me that probably about once a month.
Ah.
When he calls somebody a Ned and I go, ah, you're so colloquial.
That would make sense, because that's basically what they are, except they're chaps that I wouldn't like to come across.
Do you actually call him colloquial?
I don't think I actually use that word, but I might do from now on.
Charming.
Oh, no, I don't call him charming.
Well, there aren't any charming. I was calling you charming. There aren't any charming Scottish people.
I think Sean Connery would disagree.
Sean Connery.
Probably the arrogant prick.
What the fuck does he know?
So yeah, that was a particularly brilliant film. So rent it, buy it. Well, I think it must be out because I think it's got to be at least a year old now. So it'll be available on Love Film, Netflix, maybe.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
And every when.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Hmm.
It's just ubiquitous.
Yes.
Oh, and there is a particularly bizarre scene where he has a fight with Jesus.
Okay.
Quite entertaining. He did because during his downward spiral, which, like I said, is probably the most spectacular downward spiral I've ever seen. He does a bit of glue sniffing, and then goes and falls asleep at the statue of a cross, and he looks up and sees Jesus, and then Jesus gets off the cross and has a massive fist fight with him.
Well, obviously.
I hate it when that happens.
I know.
I imagine Jesus would be quite hard, too.
He did have the upper hand, has to say.
Yeah. Excellent.
And it's got a very metaphorical ending.
How metaphorical?
I'll be honest, I probably won't watch that one. Sounds a bit too horrible for me.
It's not... Because I've said before, I'm the fan of the films that make you feel something, whether that be good or horrible. I just like films that affect you.
Penetrate the numbness.
Yeah. Yes, so true. It is a not horrible film, but there are some scenes, like I say, that particular incident, which I won't say, I did think, oh my god, that's horrific. It wasn't horrific in the sense, it wasn't gory, it wasn't too over the top, it wasn't jibbing someone up or slitting their throat or anything like that. In fact, there was no blood at all.
Jibbing someone up.
And it was shot from, yeah, sorry, shanking someone.
Shank a dude.
Yeah, it was shot from, like, far away as well, so it wasn't even, like, close-up violence. It was just the act itself and the implications of it that followed were...
You see, I think that's worse. I think I'd be happier just to watch, like, a gory kind of...
And, yeah, a senseless violent.
Because I can just abandon realism then and just, like,
check
off. But it's the ones that just make you think about it when you're trying to go to bed.
Yeah, it was because it was quite surprising what he did, really, because he knocked him out, and then you thought he was going to walk away, and then he came back with something, and whatever he did, you thought, fuck, that's, you know, he's gone absolutely mental. There's no hope for him now. And then the effects, like I say, of the bloke that he beat up, when you see later on, you felt so sorry for the bloke.
What a knob.
It's not on Netflix.
And that's a shame. The metaphorical ending, Chris, was, that was quite a funny bit, actually. They go to a school trip to some drive-through zoo where they have lions.
Mm-hmm. Like a safari park.
Yeah.
a drive-through zoo sounds really weird.
Well, they're in Scotland.
I'll have a zebra. I'll have a giraffe.
Zoo.
Nobody wants to get out of their car at a zoo in Scotland.
Their school bus breaks down, and then the jeep that comes to rescue them has only got space for so many of the kids, so this two of them have to stay behind, one of them being the main character. And the teacher's like, get out of the car, get back in the car, because there's lions out there. And this bloke just turns around and goes, I'm not going to fucking touch the lions. and then the ending involves a pack of lions and... walking through them.
In Scotland, the lions stay away from the people.
Wise man once
said... Wouldn't surprise me.
Wise man once said, in Scotland, lions stay away from people.
Sorry, I'm just eating a delicious cookie.
So that famous, well, not famous, famous to me, Rorschach quote, where he says that I'm not stuck in here with you, you're stuck in here with me.
Yeah.
And he's in prison.
Mm-hmm. Why was Rorschach in prison?
Because he's
a maniac. He gets taken to prison for being a vigilante.
Oh, you're talking about...
Yeah, I'm talking about the Watchmen. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. What do you think we were talking about?
Well, there must have been an actual psychologist called Rorke's, whatever it's called, because you have the Rorschach test.
Yeah, I think there was.
That's the pseudonym he assumed.
Which is what his mask is based
Indeed.
On. So don't start on me, Christian.
Starting over where I want.
Did you just take a picture, Peter?
No,
it sounded so much like an old camera.
It did. It sounded like a shutter. Yeah.
You listen
Speaking
back.
Speaking of which,
after,
no, we haven't got
this.
Time for that.
I think we're running out of time, so...
Yeah, I don't need to do the next bit.
We're going to go straight to the quiz. Oh, wait, okay. Peter, do you want to tell us about Colour Uncovered really quickly?
Oh, yeah, I just want to mention it because it's so brilliant. If you have an iPad, go immediately to the App Store and search for Colour, spelt American style with no U in it. Colour Uncovered, all one word. It's an app that shows and teaches about colour and sort of optical illusions and the way our mind, the way our brain processes colour. And it's really, really clever.
I know about colour. That's like blue and that other thing's red.
There's one for you.
There you are.
Is it free?
Yes, it's absolutely free.
All right, be right back. Cool.
I might use that in school.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant.
In cool. Are you putting the cool back in school, Lewis?
No. I'd like to say yes, but no.
Oh.
Are you putting the hall back in school?
I'm putting the s back in school.
Okay.
To make it not cool and back into a school.
Hi, I'm back.
Because that's all I seem to spend most of my day doing.
Shut up, you fucking little shit! I thought you just spent the whole day hissing at them.
Why not? They growl
just
at
like
me.
A snake.
They do genuinely growl at me as well.
That's weird.
Are you sure you don't work in a pet
Drive
shop?
Through zoo?
Yeah.
No, we've got one that's just angry. He does growl. If he's angry, he just goes... like that.
I've been told that I growl sometimes.
Are you positive that's not just a dog?
No, we've got one that thinks he's a dog.
Wow.
So he growls but because he thinks he's a dog.
Why does he think he's a dog?
I don't know. I'm guessing because he doesn't have a normal family, which is quite sad. He's quite a clever little boy, but he's got an obsession with dogs. So I reckon somewhere along the line.
Oh, that's wrong. When you said he's quite a clever little boy, I thought did you teach him to sit and roll over?
Yeah, we were tempted to find out what type of dog he thinks he is. You know, give him something to smell and see if he can find it again. Maybe like a bloodhound. But I'm guessing somewhere that he's been left alone with. Dogs.
That is quite sad.
Yeah,
it is quite sad.
I know we make jokes, Lewis, but I am genuinely very impressed at your career.
Yeah, same. It's so much more noble than mine.
Yeah.
It's not really.
I don't know. I have a cousin that works with like quite severely disabled children, and I don't know how anybody does that sort of work.
Mm.
See, I think that would probably be different because these aren't disabled as such, so it's probably not as much as a sort of, I was going to say burden then, that's completely the wrong word, but you know what I mean.
Well,
I
yeah.
If you were severely disabled children, then that would be a harder job to get round. These are completely mobile, running around, they've got more energy than that, but it's just that they're emotionally unstable.
I still think it's a very admirable job.
Yeah.
I'm with Peter on this one.
Me too. It's one of those things where you kind of think, oh, that would be, it'd be fantastic to be able to do something that has that much worth to it. But then I also don't think that I could.
Mm.
I didn't think I would be able to, though, to be fair. Once you just get there and once you, hearing stories about it, it's probably different. But once you actually get in there and personalise them, they're just children. They haven't done anything wrong. They've just been brought up by shitheads. Yeah. That don't deserve to breathe oxygen. And so once you see them, most of them are very clever, great little sense of humour. They're just unstable. But yeah, no, it's rewarding. But yeah, it's no more No more impressive than anyone else's job.
I don't know.
I put together corporate e-learning programs.
I make iPhone apps and stuff. You are raising the future leaders of this country.
God help us, any of those become a future leader.
You were raising the future gang leaders of this country.
Yeah.
That's still an important job. If anything,
I'm just ensuring my own safety.
Yeah.
When they get to power, I'm like, I taught you. I'm like, yeah, let him go, he's all right.
Exactly.
Mr. Lewis is all right.
Do they call you Mr. Lewis or Mr. Gaston?
Mr. Lewis.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think that's super cool, yeah, too. Yeah,
that's...
No one at my job one calls me right. Mr. Kev.
It'd be weird if I did, though, I guess.
Oh.
One of them came up to me in the playground the other day and went, your surname's Gaston, right? Yeah. And he went, but if your first name was Michael and your surname was Jackson, you'd be Michael Jackson. I was like, well, you can't fault his logic. So.
Nothing you say is untrue.
Yeah.
That's hard to argue with, really.
So, yeah.
That's clever, isn't it? Anyway, we welcome Q. That's a clever pun to start
you
off.
Herman Rorschach was the psychiatrist psychologist that created the Rorschach test.
That's not...
In your face, Chris.
That's not a pun at all.
He was Swiss.
Yeah.
There you go. On the spot, fact-checking.
Cool.
It's a new year, people.
I was really quickly say something. I look at this comic someone linked me to, and it's like a going through life kind of thing, like a board game. And it says start, age 11. The first one is can't create imaginary friends, only enemies. Move ahead one. But what I love the second one made me laugh. Pull the wings off wasps to make super ants.
Truly terrifying.
Dear. Oh, that made me laugh.
Should we do a quiz?
Okay. Yes. I forgot that I needed to do one, so I quickly wrote one at the start. But I've gone for, because the Oscar nominations are out.
I've gone for
Oscar themed questions.
All right.
And they're all tied to this year's nominations, but they're not about this year's, well, they're not all about this year's films, so don't worry if they're too new or recent for you, because they're not all about that.
Okay,
so it's 1 to 10, as usual.
I have pretty low hopes for my my attempt this time around.
Mm.
Not what you'd call a movie buff.
I didn't really recognise anything that was on the Oscar nominations list. So.
I recognised a few things.
That's what I'm saying. I haven't done questions because a lot of them were a bit... I haven't even been released over here, so they're not about the esoteric ones.
It's also ridiculous that Andy Serkis was nominated for anything.
Sorry, Chris.
Sorry. Fucking esoteric.
Much better. I'm much more comfortable with that. Thanks.
There are a couple of people who are pointing out it's kind of ridiculous that Andy Serkis hasn't been nominated for Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, he was really good in that.
Yeah.
Who was he in that?
He's the ape.
The main guy.
Really?
Yeah.
This isn't the British year, though.
Play an ape?
He's Golem in Lord of the Rings.
King Kong as well.
Golem,
hello. We're just going to let that one slide?
Golem.
Golem.
He's King Kong in King Kong as well.
And I think he does deserve a recognition for the work he does.
He also has really screwed his back from all this work.
Yeah.
I was watching an interview with him.
I think he definitely deserves recognition for the work he does because he's absolutely incredible.
Okay.
But it isn't British year. Oh. Oscars do it in years.
Mm. Yes.
Last year was a British year. This year, there's hardly any British people.
Oh.
We don't like the British this year.
No. Give it a couple of years, we'll be all the rage again.
Hmm.
Were we back to just playing
villains this year?
Yeah. The closest they got to liking the British was giving Gary Oldman a nomination for Best Actor and giving Meryl Streep a Best Actress nomination for her portrayal as a British Prime Minister.
Mm.
What annoys me about American culture is that when they say British, they just mean posh English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Scottish or Welsh, you know. Northern Irish. Yeah.
Cockney.
Does that count as British?
Cornish.
Northern Irish? I always get confused
yep.
between
yeah. well, it depends
GB,
who you ask.
Great Britain, yeah. British Isles, and the United Kingdom.
Does Northern Irish count as British? There's a question.
yeah.
Mm.
Officially, yes, we qualify for everything in the UK and Britain.
No, you're not
British Isles, are you?
Yeah, you're not British.
Go into a Protestant pub somewhere and ask that question.
Northern Ireland. No. Northern Ireland does not count as British. It's the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
Yeah, it's not part of Great Britain, but it's part of Britain.
I think Britain's just a colloquialism.
The nationality on my passport says British.
I suppose so, because you're not United Kingdom-ish.
Anyway, regardless, the Americans just say, are you British? And they just mean posh English. Because they wouldn't go to a Geordie person and think they're British, for example. Although I think their brains would explode if they met a Geordie person.
No, fucking Martian.
yeah.
They could handle British Geordie people. That's why Cheryl Cole got booted off that
program. I'm going to see Geordies on Saturday. Not like
I'm
in
so sorry.
At the zoo.
what did you do?
What's the entrance fee for that?
Just I mean that it's
to pay a pound and walk through a tent.
Brighton are playing Newcastle in the FA Cup on Saturday.
Oh dear.
Are you going up there?
No, it's at the Amex.
Ooh.
It's fun to play at the Amex.
Should we do this quiz?
Yeah,
trust Brighton song to be that.
It's not actually. it's a song that me and one of the guys at work want to make a song. Because we think it's an awesome one.
One of the guys at work?
Yeah.
Has he got a big bushy moustache?
No.
And a leather cap?
He doesn't.
And he wears
a headdress.
But we get the piss taken out of us for being gay anyway, so we might as well play up to it.
Well, why not?
Well, they say that's the best way to respond to bullying, don't they? Just accept it.
You
not accept
are a bully,
it, but...
and I pity you. I think that's what you're meant to say, isn't it?
I think that just gets you hit harder.
Yeah.
Probably the mistake you were making in school, Kev, when they kept punching you.
Yeah, probably. I will not fight you with violence, sir, but with words.
Punch. Punch.
Turns out,
see, I was actually bullied in my last year of primary school, and I found that the best way to combat that was just to grow massive really quickly after it.
That's quite
tried that. Didn't work out so well. Year 9, still 5 foot.
I found the best way was to be beaten into unconsciousness and then take revenge by getting kicked out of school.
So, also would
that
work.
Was fairly effective.
I just slipped heroin into their lunch.
Oh dear, shall we do a quiz?
No, it's not. Let's just fuck it.
Weirder than you.
Yeah, I think that's probably what... I did shut a guy in
pay
a bin.
It forward.
Transfer the bullying down.
It's always the way. I mean, it's sad, and I'm not proud to say that I once shut a boy in my year into one of those yellow grit bins with two other boys. We were going, just get in the bin. Just get in the stupid bin.
That's one incident, though. Bullying is generally a continued thing, isn't
it? And he was a sort of friend. We all just made him do stuff that no one else wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then we told him there were scorpions in the bin.
You weren't bullying as much as just pranking people.
Still, it's obviously had an effect on me, because I still remember it all these years afterwards.
It's had an effect on you. The other bloke's a binman.
Yeah, that's true.
I was just going to say, because my little brother, who Peter's taken to calling Mini Lipscomb, was bullied, but that was a bad idea. Because my little brother looks really small, and then he does not...
He starts windmilling.
with knives attached to his head.
I'd put it this way, I've seen him knock a guy out in one punch, so...
No. Oh, one punch Lipscomb.
Yeah. Oh, one punch.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Should we do a quiz?
I remember my brother's friend, who's got hands like bigger than mine, and I've got quite fat hands.
Burly.
He once punched a bee out of the sky. That was quite possibly the greatest moment.
My older brother punched a seagull
out of
in the face.
Why would you do that?
He was going to nick his sandwich, and just like as a reaction thing, he just span around and punched
enough
it.
Enough said.
He just floored a seagull.
Nice.
Okay, this has been your animal cruelty podcast.
Yeah. Okay, quiz.
Yes.
So, question number one.
I'm typing my answers onto my iPad, so I'm not so noisy this week.
You just be noisy on the iPad. You should be making fucking... He tapping on glass. Smashing it. See, that's noisy.
It's not me.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah,
that's
me framing Pete. And I do it again,
like
see?
Like he tried to do with his burp earlier. Okay, question one. If The Artist wins Best Picture, how many silent films would have won the award in total?
That's a really good question.
And I'll just say closest to it wins that one. Question two. Martin Scorsese is up for Best Director, but for which film did he receive his first ever... Yeah. Start that again. Martin Scorsese is up for Best Director, but for which film did he receive his first Best Director award? Are you typing that into Google?
How do you spell Scorsese?
You can't even Google things right.
I'm kidding, I'm not.
Question three. Steven Spielberg isn't up for Best Director, despite War Horse being up for Best Picture, but surprisingly, he has only won two Best Directors for which films?
Do we get a point each?
Yeah.
Well, that's another no points for me.
Question four.
Hold on.
I'm still researching Steven Spielberg films. Give me
two films for that. Okay. No,
I honestly can't think of two Steven Spielberg films.
There are quite a few. Question four. George Clooney could win his first ever Oscar, but for which film has he been nominated? I should clarify and say first ever Best Actor nomination, Oscar. Question five. Nick Nolte has been recognised for his role in Warrior, but the film's leading males have been ignored. Name one of them.
Actor or character?
Actor.
I know that, I think.
And which film was it, sorry?
Warrior. Next question. Meryl Streep is again nominated for Best Actress. She holds the all-time record for number of nominations for any performer, male or female. What is that number? Closest to it wins.
Oh, I heard this earlier in the week, but I can't remember.
Question seven. For the first time in God knows how many years, Pixar is not nominated for a Best Animated Feature. Can you name two of the five nominees for 2012?
Wait, sorry, for what was it? For Best Picture?
Animated.
Best Animated.
Oh. I saw this earlier.
I don't think they've done any animated pictures this year, have they?
The Cars 2 would have fallen into the...
Cars 2? Any others?
I did say Pixar is not nominated for a Best Animated Feature. Question number eight. Composer John Williams' name appears twice in the Best Original Score category, once for War Horse, but what is the second? And there's a bonus question there, because John Williams is the second most nominated person in Oscar history, but if you get a bonus point, if you can tell me the most nominated person.
Or just for Best Score, or...?
No, just for the most nominated person in Oscar history.
Oh, dear.
Wasn't that question six?
No.
All right. I think I'm doing pretty well.
This is question
nine.
No.
What I'm saying is, wasn't question six regarding the person who is most nominated?
One, two, three, four, five. No, that was Meryl Streep. She's got the most nominations for a performer.
Oh, I see.
So, actor, male or female.
Oh.
This John Williams is the second highest nominated person out of any category. Question number nine. As well as being up for Best Actor, George Clooney could walk away with the Best Adapted Screenplay Award, but for which film? And question 10. The remake of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo has received 5 nominations, but how many nominations did the Swedish original version gain?
What was the number? Can you read question five again, please?
Number five was Nick Nolte has been recognised for his role in Warrior, but the film's leading males have been ignored. Name one of them.
Okay, and what was number eight?
Number eight was composer John Williams' name appears twice in the Best Original Score category, once for War Horse, but what is the second? And that was also the one with the bonus question.
Okay. I do know that, because I was looking at the nominations the other day.
if you think about the films that come out, it may be easier to think about it that way.
No, I haven't got it. I'm quite glad that I think I've got... I've answered 8, and I'm fairly confident of 5.
Ooh. Peter?
I've answered, I think, 6 that I might get.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. I've answered 10. I'm pretty sure of one of them.
Okay. Question 1. If The Artist wins Best Picture, how many silent films would have won the award in total?
My answer was 1, because the Oscars came after the talkies, so that would be the first one.
Okay.
I took a random guess and said 10.
Okay.
I said 3, because I thought there might have been a couple of like weird arty ones slipped through.
See, I don't know what to do now. The answer is 2.
Oh.
Because the first ever Best Picture Oscar went to a silent film, but none others. And I did say closest to, but that means Kevin, Pete, Ty, so you both get 1.
Yes!
Yeah. Just give him a point each, that's fine.
Question 2. Scorsese's up for Best Director, but for which film did he receive his first Best Director award?
Was it Kill Bill?
He didn't direct Kill Bill, no.
I think he didn't get nominated for a lot of his early films. It was a big thing about Scorsese being ignored by the Academy for a long time. So I think it was maybe one of his slightly later films, and I guessed at Kundun.
I think, I might be completely wrong, I'm not even sure he directed this, but is it Raging Bull?
He did direct Raging Bull, but that was his early one. Peter, you're right in that he didn't get recognised until very late, but it was The Departed.
Ah, I see, it was even later.
That is a great film.
That recent.
Yeah
it
was.
Scorsese's a great director.
And I loved him in Kill Bill. So much wrong with that sentence.
Question 3. Spielberg isn't up for the blah, blah, blah. He's only won twice for which films?
I think it was Raiders of the Lost Ark and Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Okay, Peter?
I think it was Saving Private Ryan and Empire of the Sun.
Okay.
I've put E.T. and that Martian one, brackets War of the Worlds?
Oh, God, they wouldn't be nominated for that. That was fucking terrible.
Nope, the two that he won for... that doesn't make sense at all, does it? The two that he won were Schindler's List.
Oh, of course.
And Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, so I got one right.
So, Peter, you get 1 point.
Great.
I thought Schindler's List was shit, by the way, everyone.
Haven't seen it.
Controversial.
I just thought it was really cheap. Cheap shocks and in the really sort of unimaginative film school way he played with that little girl with a red coat. And just thought it was just a little bit cheap.
Huh?
Could have done so much better.
What's on Schindler's List? I haven't read it.
Very liquid.
Question 4. George Clooney could win his first ever Oscar, but for which film has he been nominated?
Is it Descendants?
Moneyball.
It's The Descendants. Brad Pitt's Moneyball.
Fuck's sake.
That was the one that I knew that I got right.
It is Descendants. Nick Nolte's been recognised for Warrior, but films leading male has been ignored, named one of them.
Don't
was
know.
It The Ultimate Warrior? Brackets The Wrestler.
It should have been.
Oh, I wish it was.
No.
Tom Hardy.
Yes, Tom Hardy was one. You could have also had Joel Edgerton.
Yeah.
Question 6.
Point.
No, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. Meryl Streep has been nominated record number 4 performer. What is that number?
I guessed 15.
Okay.
I guessed 16.
I guessed 32.
Ooh, Kev. A bit too high there. Peter wins that point. It was 7.
Oh, so close.
Still, I had the top the end time, covered, if you know.
You did. That is true. For the first time, God knows how many years, Pixar isn't nominated. Name 2 of the 5 nominees for Best Animated Picture.
I think it's Puss in Boots and Kung Fu Panda 2.
Okay.
I didn't put anything for that.
Okay. I put Arrietty and Toy Story 4.
Chris wins that one. Puss in Boots, Kung Fu, blah, 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 Kung Fu Panda 2, Rango and I can't remember the name of the other.
It's like A Cat in Paris or something, I think.
Cat in Paris, that's one.
Yeah.
And then there's another foreign sounding one.
But there was something that was really good that was overlooked, and I can't remember what it was.
Arrietty.
No.
I really want to see that, though.
Ari Redknapp.
There was something like amazing that came out last year. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
Do you guys know what Arrietty is when I'm saying Arrietty all the time?
No.
No.
Oh, it's the Studio Ghibli adaptation of The Borrowers.
Oh.
Okay.
It looks really good.
Ooh.
If you like that sort of thing.
Question 8. John Williams appears twice, once for Warhorse. What was the second?
Was it Star Wars The Phantom Menace 3D?
No.
Because that's not out yet.
What was the question?
The first part of that question was, John Williams' name appears twice in the Best Original Score category, once for Warhorse, but what's the second?
Oh, I've got my answers out of line. I've just moved that answer to the one below. I don't know. Short answer.
Okay. Kev?
Star Wars Phantom Menace 3D.
Oh, no, you said, yeah, no.
Chris? I've got no idea.
It was Tintin.
Never saw that.
Because, of course, Spielberg directed that.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what was overlooked in Best Animated.
Yeah, it had to be John Williams. Oh, right.
Surely that was...
That's not...
Tintin's not animated, though, is it?
Yeah, that's motion captured.
Is that different?
It's...
Well, yeah, because it's completely because motion it's captured.
Live. So is there
Mind you, having said that,
that's
how Rango was done, so...
Yeah, Rango's motion captured. So...
Was it?
So, yeah, that would have to be...
Who knows?
Actually, no, saying that, Rango isn't motion captured. They filmed Rango in person, but they didn't motion capture it. They just filmed it to get the facial expressions.
I wonder if that does qualify then. It's interesting.
If it does, then it's a...
Well, it wasn't mocap.
No, but I mean, I wonder if...
animated.
If because it's mocapped, that's why it's not animated. That's interesting.
I remember ages and ages ago, I remember like reading an interview with somebody about Tintin and them saying that it's not an animated film. It was just... It's basically just
digital
motion
makeup,
captured. And then, yeah, they've just digitally painted over the top of it.
Yes, I suppose so. But then again, Disney films used to do that, so...
Yeah, but they were still hand...
Mm. Yeah, but Rango's not hand animated, is it? So,
yeah,
it's Rango wasn't motion.
But what I mean is they're still using a computer to animate it, and that's what they're doing with Tintin. But what I mean is that's what they used to do with Disney films. They used to actually like animate over people like walking on treadmills and stuff to get it.
Yeah, no, but Rango. Is no different to Kung Fu Panda 2 or Puss in Boots. It's a computer animated film. All they did was film the actors as they read their lines so that they got more expression and more acting from the actors.
So the bonus question.
The bonus question was, John Williams is the second highest nominated person in Oscar history. Who's the first?
Is it Meryl Streep?
No.
I've got Randy Newman.
No. Chris?
I didn't put in a think.
It was Walt Disney.
Of course.
Walt Disney is the highest.
Because the American Academy loves their racists.
They do.
Hmm.
Allegedly. I'm not saying anything about Meryl Streep.
Question 9. As well as being up for Best Actor, George Clooney would walk away with the Best Adapted Screenplay, but for which film?
Was it Transformers 4?
I took a guess that it was the Descendants again.
Nope.
Was it Moneyball?
It's not Moneyball, no.
Didn't George Clooney have anything to do with Moneyball?
I don't think
I'm
so.
I'm sure I read something about that.
It's all Brad Pitt.
Nope, he was involved in the screenplay for The Ides of March.
Oh, of course he fucking was. Yes, I did know that.
Yeah, Chris.
And question 10, closest one wins. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo received 5 nominations, but how many did the original Swedish version get?
I am guessing 1.
So did I.
Well, you all get a point because it was none.
I thought it might be nominated for Best Foreign Language.
Yeah, that's what I went for.
That's what I thought, Chris.
Didn't even get that.
That's a shame.
Oh, well.
Which is a crime.
Mm. Did you see those? There was somewhere on the internet posted, I think it called it like honest posters for the Oscar nominated films. And the tagline for Fincher's Girl with a Dragon Tattoo said, still got the rape, but no subtitles. I thought it was quite
nice.
Yeah, very interesting, that whole thing, that film. I've been reading so things about that all week.
I do want to see that. I did love the original, though.
I didn't understand it. The
did
original,
you
not? I mean.
The Swedish version.
Yeah, Swedish.
So I think Peter wins that one.
How many did you get, Pete?
I got five.
Sorry.
Well, you good?
I didn't get very many in the end.
Well done. Just the two for me.
Yeah.
There you go.
Questions and that.
Question time.
All right, going all the way back. Dav says he's going to crash the podcast, but clearly didn't.
I thought Dav was coming on tonight. But
he was, but then I said, he said.
I thought Dav was coming on to me.
Well, no, because I said, well, did you want to come on? And he said, well, I'll come on if you want me on, if you need me. And I said, I think want is too strong of a word. and he was the one who wanted
harsh
to come on anyway.
Fair.
Mini Lipscomb says, oh, fuck's sake, I fucking hate him. To Christian, if I'm to choose one series from the new 52 to read, what would it be? I read the Deathstroke number one and liked it. You could read Deathstroke, but it's ending next month, is the last one. Because that's one of the series that's being killed off, which is a shame because I'm really enjoying it. They're killing off two series I quite like, which are Deathstroke and Blackhawks, which I'm quite enjoying both.
Answer the question, Chris.
So I would probably, I would say maybe. Oh, actually, no. Batman. Batman's really good at the moment. With
wrong.
What would you pick, Peter?
The correct answer to this question is either Justice League, Flash or Aquaman?
Those all acceptable answers.
Oh, Aquaman's really good.
I'd say Justice League would certainly be good. Flash, I'm enjoying quite a lot, but I'm really liking Batman, and the whole Owl Court of Owls thing is really good. It's a really interesting plot line, and it's kind of probably the most challenging of the plot lines in challenging. Some of the preconceptions about Batman and that sort of thing. And plus, although I haven't got it yet, I've heard the last issue is absolutely incredible. Which I need to get. But yeah, I've...
Well, surely you should just lend your brother these comics.
Cause... He can borrow it if he wants. I've got the entire first month of the new 52 kicking about somewhere.
There you go.
So he can...
Try them all, then. You can try them all. Mini Lipscomb can have a comic festival.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome. And then he can go and knock somebody out.
Dan says he's found a video of me and Lewis fighting.
He posted that ages ago. He got a laugh then.
What was it? I forgot what it was. Oh, it's just the kids doing taekwondo.
The taekwondo fight of the kids.
It's awesome.
Don't make contact. The blue one's definitely the winner. Those little back kicks.
Whoa.
One's which? That's the question.
Scuba Steve 88 says, I present to you a dinosaurs versus humans FPS.
Yeah, I watched that when you were talking earlier on about things.
Does it look any good?
Well, it looks like what it says. Dinosaurs versus humans. You can choose either side to play as.
That's not really answering the question, though, is it?
Is anyone going to choose being human?
It looked rubbish being a human, I'll be honest.
Let's have a quick look.
Yeah, skip to somewhere in the middle of the video on their page, but...
Right. Primalcarnage.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was
fight for that domain name.
There was that one that was like a mod for DOD that came out recently, and that wasn't very good.
The Department of
Defense. Well, there's an incoming beta registration, so you could sign up and see for yourself.
Let's see.
Oh, it's going to be distributed via Origin. Fuck that.
Jesus.
What's Origin?
Oh, is it? Oh, it's only a
EA's electric thing.
Is it a PCA electric thing?
Yeah,
one of them newfangled electronic thingies.
No, the electronic.
You mean do you mean digital?
Digital. I mean digital.
One of those mechanical
tool.
Oh god, he's
with a cog. It's like I'm living in a steampunk era.
That dude was shooting a T-Rex with a revolver.
Yeah, I know. Amazing.
This game looks awesome.
What's your problem with that? That'd work, surely.
But I need to get a new graphics card before I play that, because if it's just coming to PC, that sounds bad.
Who's playing Words with Friends?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Trying to do a podcast, you know.
Oh, it's not FPS if you're the guy.
I looked at that earlier when I was ignoring
you. We were talking about Skyrim.
That's really disappointing. It's not FPS if you're a dinosaur. If you're a dinosaur, it's third person.
Well, because you still want to be able to see the awesome dinosaur that you are.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
It would just be FDS, wouldn't it?
What?
First dinosaur shooter. That looks really awesome.
Now he's going after velociraptors with a sniper rifle.
Yeah, it looks brilliant.
No good, they move too quick.
Pete's complaining about the tactics on display.
Need a minigun, just... Going around
I think you should link to this video when
yeah, we should put a link to this video in the post, but it looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'll
well, it looks like dinosaurs versus humans and an FPS.
It's definitely qualified under those grounds.
So it is what it says it is, more or less. Yeah. And it's not wholly first person.
It does look pretty solid as well. Here we go. We have, from Colin Barr, a wrestling question.
It's not really a question. Ooh. It's a request.
But... Yeah, Royal Rumble, talk about it for at least 5 minutes, please.
It hasn't happened
yet. No, it's happening on Sunday.
Ooh, I don't know. I haven't watched Raw for a couple of weeks.
The last Royal Rumble I watched was one that Ric Flair won.
Jesus.
Last one I watched was 2001. And I believe Stone Cold Steve Austin won.
I think Jimmy Superfly Snuka will probably win.
If you have stupid names these days,
Jimmy
the Ultimate John Warrior, Cena. That's what I say.
Are you calling Jimmy Superfly Snuka a stupid name?
Yes.
You know Jimmy Superfly Snuka is a wrestler from the mid-80s?
No.
And was their first wrestler to do a splash off the top of the cage. Because that
Why
was
would
as,
I know any of this?
Because that was as mental as high-flying antics got in those days. Finished. Did you know that was as crazy as, like, high-flying antics got back then? It's like, oh, he's doing a splash.
Yeah. He's making a splash.
Jimmy Superfly Snuka was actually a legend.
Yeah, Jimmy Superfly Snuka's fucking amazing.
Still
and he's super...
He's
Superfly as well. I mean, you can't argue with that, really.
Yeah, he wore, like, leopard print trunks.
That's
Shania
pretty
Twain.
Fly. But
Twain.
Who do people think will win the Royal Rumble? Just pick random wrestler names. What?
CM Punk.
Kane.
It'll be John Cena.
I don't think John Cena's in the Royal Rumble.
The Rock. I'm calling it.
Papa Shango.
Plus, I don't think John... I don't,
oh my God, there's a name from the
I don't think John Cena can be in the Royal Rumble because he's already got a match at WrestleMania.
I think Grandmaster Sexay is going to win.
It was a match... It was a match for the... title, and he doesn't have the title.
Yeah, but he already has a match out. Was it a match for the title, or if it was just a match?
No, because when they made it, he was like, yeah, I'll be champion when we meet.
But the match was still made, regardless of whether it's a title match or not.
No, but it was made on the proviso that he would
he
be
could
champion.
Be champion again by then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's how he's probably going to win it, and then like ask for a... I don't know, triple threat or whatever.
But because if he wins, he doesn't get his title shot till WrestleMania. It's no good. He needs to.
That's what I'm saying. It'll be a triple threat.
Oh, what with him and The Rock and.
Can you imagine, like, the CM Punk and The Rock and.
No, I want. You just want one on one. John Cena Rock. That's what you want.
Is he back fighting
the
proper
Rock's
now then?
Shit now. No, he's a.
Who's the Survivor Series? Was he in the Survivor Series?
I don't know. I didn't watch Survivor Series.
At least he's a good actor, though.
The Rock's. Oh, yeah.
Have you not seen Walking Tall?
I have.
Amazing.
I've also seen Welcome to the Jungle.
I have not.
He's in a new film coming out. I saw an advert for earlier called
the
Journey 2.
Mysterious.
I swear, when I...
Oh, that looked really good, though. I really want to see that.
Last time I went to the cinema, it didn't call it Journey 2, The Mysterious Island. It just went, this must be some kind of... And then cut to the titles and went, Mysterious Island. It's just like...
Yeah, because I looked at it and thought, Where was Journey?
Journey 1 was Journey to the Top of Witch Mountain.
Of course it was. What the hell is that?
Journey to the Center of the Earth. Was that part of this series? Or?
No, I presume that'll be the...
No, that was that shitty film with Brendan.
I presume that'll be the next one. The will be Journey to the Center of the Earth.
They're making a video game of that this year, aren't they? Just call it Journey.
I thought the Journey to the Mysterious Island, where it's called, looked really good.
Did you?
It looks all right.
It's got Michael Caine in it.
Yeah, it's got Michael Caine in it.
It's got Dwayne Johnson in it.
You can't argue with Michael Caine too much.
It could have Don Johnson in it. That would make it better.
Because if you argue about a Michael Caine too much, I hear Michael Caine just comes to your house.
Probably.
Just tells you to watch his film.
What did you say what about was the best... Don Johnson? Sorry. I'm not even listening. I'm just hearing sounds now. You don't have to justify yourself. We talked about wrestling for 5 minutes now.
That's probably 5 minutes of wrestling talk. Hobo Castro says, isn't it about time all multiplex cinemas were digital in HD?
Yes.
Yes.
Odin is,
that
isn't it?
Said, I went and watched, what film was it now?
Don't know, Lewis, you haven't told us yet.
Must have been 50-50, because I think that was the last one I went and saw. But that was the first film I saw in digital.
I mean, they should all be digital, but they are all effectively HD anyway, aren't they?
No.
Because it's analogue, but isn't it analogue film?
That's, yeah, they don't have pixels.
It doesn't have a resolution.
Yeah.
I mean, the resolution is beyond HD. It's just...
It's just a...
Light.
Yeah, but it's also blown up from, like, 35mm film.
That's true.
So it's...
I don't know what the effective resolution is of analogue film.
Yeah, I don't know what the effective resolution is, but the picture of a movie at the cinema is generally much worse than it is on DVD.
But you have to consider the fact that a 1080p screen that size would probably look much lower quality than even analogue film does.
That's true.
So it probably is effectively in a greater resolution in HD.
That's true.
So yes.
I don't know, I think that generally speaking, the picture quality of the cinema is awful.
I actually think, yeah, you want it to be digital, but
it's pretty good.
I think you'd want it to be digital, but you wouldn't want them to be HD, because a 1080p screen that size would be horrible.
Don't they do that 4K nonsense at the cinema?
I think it's... I don't know what the resolution is on digital projectors, but I think
the Odeon one is 4K.
Yeah. Because 1080p is nowhere near enough.
No.
I've got questions, because Jason, his tweets are protected.
Okay, well, I've got a few more here, and then we'll come back to yours.
Well, he's got two, so I'll do one of his now, okay. And then we'll do more on them. He says, what should we do with people that wear their jeans below their backside?
Give them a wedgie. do nothing. Tolerate it. Get over it. Move on.
So,
don't know. Any
send
of
them to National Service.
End them. I don't know.
I'm more concerned by the people that walk and don't move their arms.
I didn't hear it properly.
They
that is
me
really
out.
Creepy.
They freaked
but was
me
it
out.
Was it people who wear their jeans below their so you can see their underwear?
It just says jeans below their backside, so okay. I assume he means people that wear like baggy jeans that you can see their boxers.
Well, perhaps the appropriate thing would just to be to give them a belt, or perhaps suspenders.
Take them for a resizing.
Yes.
Yeah, give them a measuring tape.
These jeans are clearly the wrong size for you. Alright, CC Star says, since the 1920s, movies have been shot at 24 frames per second. A load of films like The Hobbit, This Year's Spider-Man, and Avatar 2 are being shot at 48 frames per second to remove all the blur and judder, which people seem to like as a kind of filmic quality. Your thoughts?
Well, I think 48 frames per second will actually make it seem like a documentary. You know when you get really sharp ultra HD TV, sometimes they make everything look like
I don't like it.
Cheap daytime soap opera.
Like
it's nasty.
I prefer that filmic quality, because otherwise I think it'd feel too much like you're just watching telly.
And it's done its service for over 100 years now, so
yeah, people are just kind of used to it. So
yeah, I don't. My mate's got the TV that has a overly sort of sharp sort of smooth image, and it just seems weirdly cheap somehow, or shot on a handheld camera.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all. Although my mum's TV goes to the other end of the spectrum and everything leaves like a 6-second blur behind it.
Yeah, my dad's old TV was like that. It was fucking terrible. And then Tom H. Lord, who I believe is a writer of a Screen Demon, says generic...
At the moment, he's the only writer. He says,
generic question warning. Which film is the Gaston going to watch next?
Which film? Oh.
Is that your nickname at Screen Demon? The Gaston?
I don't know. He's never called me that before.
Apparently.
Yeah. I don't know. Depends. I see next. I quite want to see Waiting for Superman.
Oh, that's on Netflix.
Yeah. I keep thinking that's a Superman movie and getting excited.
Yeah, I really don't want to watch it when I found it wasn't about Superman.
I don't know. There are just so many that I want to see that I just don't know if I'll ever have time to see at the moment, but we'll see.
Okay. Who would like to do the forum questions?
I can do them.
Doing them in a silly voice.
Oh, look at that modesty. I could possibly.
Well, I found them this week.
It's not like I had them queued up and practiced the voices already.
Come on.
Been going through making notes.
I'd love to share them with you.
No, you're right.
There's not that many other than Stephen's usual. All right. So, Solid Stephen, Fallout 3, a New Vegas expert. Oh, I see. He hasn't changed it this week. I'm not going to read it again. It has been a while since there has been a podcast due to... Wait, I'm looking at the wrong one.
Yeah, this is last week's.
No, I'm not. 49.
The new one's pinned.
Yeah, this is the pin.
No, he got the... Yeah, but he put the wrong number last week.
The return of the cast or the cast strikes back.
Yeah, that was last week's one. He put the wrong number in it.
That's when no one's responding to my request for more questions that I posted 2 hours ago on that thread. Bear with me.
Oh, Kev.
So someone's pinned the wrong post then, because that's the only one that's pinned.
I'll go find it for you, Kev, because I'm good like that. Intelligently, let's go to the podcast post for money. Because it'll be linked in there. Banam. Adamalab. Adamalab.
What do you say?
It's a chant.
Yeah,
Adamalab is a Brighton player, and it's the chant for him is Adamalab.
Return of the cast or the cast strikes back. That is
this week's one.
Yeah, that's the right one. It's just the questions are different, I think.
Okay. Oh, yeah, they are because the date's
right.
Okay. So.
Apologise, Chris.
Sorry, Stephen, for doubting your question-based integrity. And I'm sure Chris will be providing an apology to me and to you.
I would, but honestly, I'm a cunt, so...
Well, there you have it, listeners.
You're a cunt?
No, he's having a runt.
Oh, sorry. Runt.
Solid Steven says, it's been a while since there has been a podcast due to health issues and Chris refusing to go on without Peter.
You could probably skip that bit.
Anyway, without any future delay, I presume it means further, it's that time of the week again. The comic collector known as Chris, it was all with K's, sorry.
You always said known isn't pronounced, you don't pronounce the K.
I understand that, but he wrote comic and collector with a K as well, so I felt like he wanted it to be known.
Okay.
The pizza-less Peter, the spabbage-loving Lewis, and the star of many games, Kev, want you to ask them a question or two. If it's your first time asking a question via this thread, then let me explain to you how it works. The questions asked in this thread are to be answered by the TSA cast only, as pre-owned questions is bad for the industry, and they will start putting in over-the-top measures to ensure that they are the first ones to answer them.
This is the same as last week.
I feel like.
You don't have to read that bit.
I just expected more of Stephen, I suppose. Really thought.
Oh, but his questions are different.
Yeah. Maybe I won't read them. In protest.
Lesson.
He says, question number one. How would you combat piracy?
A good navy.
With an Italian.
The way you combat video game piracy is make video games cheaper and more readily available.
Or make them all rubbish and no one would want to pirate them.
As I've seen a brilliant post, but it's from Jonathan Colton. I've already quoted this to someone else once this week. But he said the greatest anti-piracy tool in the world is quite simple. Create good content that people want to consume, price it reasonably, and make it easy for them to get.
Yep.
Done.
That's what works.
I had a thought about music piracy the other day.
Well, like sea shanties and that.
Yeah. Make them available to buy immediately. Because I heard Swedish House Mafia Antidote like ages
yeah,
ago.
Don't.
Yeah, that's the thing. They play them on the radio for 5 weeks before.
Yeah, I went to download it, and it was like, oh, not out till the 16th of January. And I was like, oh. And that was when I was really tempted to try and get it off the net. Mm. So I reckon if music, and there's loads of that music that I want now, and it's ready now, they're just trying to hype it up. But if you make it almost instantly available, and I really just got to build that hype up, but if it's instantly available, people can get it and then build hype up by
yeah, whatever. I mean, a big reason for piracy is like stuff that just isn't available, and not just stuff like that, when there's stuff that's not available in your region, when the Americans go, no, you can have this in like 8 months or never, and the British do the same to America. So, I mean, that's just, if you make it available, people won't pirate it. But if you're going to be like, no, we're sticking to ridiculous old fashioned notions of regions that don't really need to exist anymore in a global economy, then it's kind of ridiculous.
Jonathan Coulton also said, for those who don't know, Jonathan Coulton's the guy that wrote Still Alive on the Portal soundtrack.
Yeah, and other songs as well. He didn't just write
that. He also wrote the ending theme song for Portal 2, which wasn't good.
Yes, he did. But he has albums and stuff out as well. He's like a proper musician.
He does.
Yeah, I thought they just pull him out of storage for when they release a Portal game.
Yeah, but he's not. I mean, like the guy that did the music for Bastion was like a local independent musician that the developers knew. They got him in and he did this music and everybody thinks it's brilliant. But Jonathan Coulton is like a recording artist that was hired by Valve. That's what I mean. Mm. He sort of is more well known. But anyway, he also said on his Twitter this week that since they took down Mega Upload, have any other musicians just noticed the cash pouring in?
Yeah, I saw that. Quite like that.
A very good
question. It's like, that's not how it works. That's the only thing that has been proven to work against piracy is making the content cheap and easy to get at.
It's a bit of Jonathan Coulton for you.
Indeed it is.
Excellent. Can we keep it under 30 seconds? Otherwise we're technically pirating it.
Done. 29 seconds. Stephen's next question.
Thoughts on the Resident Evil 5 film trailer?
I haven't seen it.
Shit.
Shit.
Shit. I haven't seen it actually, so I couldn't...
No, me neither. But
I imagine
they're quite shit?
Bad.
Kev, given that we're running a bit long, could you skip on other people's questions?
Can the release date of the... Symposium says...
Symposium.
Says...
Okay. he's mocking the fact that eyes look funny on TSA.
Yeah. Or possibly
only
just
on PCs.
Is it all eyes? No, it is all...
No, it's all eyes. Eyes, if they're bolded, look weird.
Stupid. Says, can the release date of the TSA podcast be earlier, like in the morning?
No, because that's
personally,
not a date, that's a time.
9 a.m, since that's when I start all the time.
That's not a date, that's a time.
They could do, we could publish at 9 a.m.
Could you publish it Sunday night? That way they've got Sunday night to listen to it, and then if they were going to work on Monday morning, they could listen
to
it.
No, because then I just think of like another thing to fill up a slot on a Monday.
And also, if I'm editing it, I'm still doing it on Sunday night usually.
Yeah, that's true. I'm there.
That's because you're.
It's going to take about 8 hours to edit.
And to be fair, there have been times when I've been editing it till like 1 a.m. on Sunday night. So.
Also,
yeah, that's ridiculous. You should just go to mine and Peter's school of editing.
Yeah. What? Line it up, crop the end off, send it out,
post it.
Also, Symposium says personally 9 a.m. since that's when I start all the time. Does he mean he's actually responsible for starting time each day?
What happens?
Nothing,
before 9
that's why. That's what.
I'm out the house by 8. What, am I just walking in the void?
Yeah.
Why is it the time to begin?
Exactly.
It's quite a responsibility, really. Pritchy 101 says, "Do you think the RE6 logo looks like a giraffe doing something unusual?"
Yes, it really does. We talked about this last week, though. And then
I think it's a terrible, terrible logo.
And then Symposium responded to that saying, "No, I think that just disrespect of the design it. Plus, it's immature." But I was like, "No, it does look like that."
Yeah, I don't think
it's not immature. That's just what it looks like.
Yeah, no, somebody has put work into that, and obviously, nobody that has approved it has noticed that it looks like this. It's one of those things where you put something together and then you put it out and somebody goes, "Oh, that looks like this." And all the designers will be sitting in their office going, "Oh, Jesus, why didn't we notice that?"
Yeah.
But I don't think it's not disrespectful. It's just, I don't appreciate the work that the designer has put into it. Yeah.
I personally don't see the giraffe thing.
It's not disrespectful. I just don't really have any respect for the artist who sort of originally made it.
I don't mean it, but I don't like it. Purposefully either. Offensive. I just don't think it's very good.
Fair enough.
And I'm not really into all that. Everyone gets a trophy just for taking part.
I don't want to disrespect him. I just think it's crap. Is what you're basically saying.
Well, try harder, and then
we won't have to, destroy your ego quite as much. That's it for the questions on the forum. Unfortunately, other than me going, has anyone else got any questions?
Oh, Jason had another question.
Oh, yeah, you missed it. What was it?
His other question was, in relation to his web design work, what is the uncertainty principle?
In relation to his web design work?
Letting Jason do your web design work?
Yeah.
I don't really know. Apparently, in that context.
He does web design work.
He does the Sony Fanatic site, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he has some use for uncertainty principle. Because which I thought was like a quantum
physics. The uncertainty principle says that you can either know you can know where an electron is, or you can know its velocity. You can't know both. So basically, you can know where it is, or you can know where it's going to be. You can't know both.
Well, you can't. It puts a limit on how much you can know both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it not like you can
basically,
if you know a lot of one thing, you can only know a very little of the other.
I guess.
But surely, if you know where it is, you could use maths.
Well, no,
to work
basically,
out.
What
have you ever
what
done it, quantum maths? It's quite difficult.
Basically, what it says is very simply that the act of observation changes the velocity or the position of it. Because by looking at it itself,
you ruin your data.
Yeah, basically. By measuring one, you affect the other.
I have no idea.
No, I'm just reading Wikipedia.
You've lost me completely.
And paraphrasing.
I don't know how that works.
How what works?
I don't know how we can relate that to his web design.
Yeah, well, I really have no idea.
It's a fundamental limit on the accuracy with which certain pairs of physical properties of a particle, in your case, a website such as whatever, Sony Fanatic, how you can know things like the position and momentum of the mouse cursor, for example, simultaneously.
My other guess would be that it means that, at a vague guess, he means he can't be certain what web browsers people are going to use to access his site, and doesn't therefore know what the best way of designing a site and loading CSS rules and possibly HTML5 support is, at a vague guess.
Oh. Then you just go with the general standards.
Yeah, there aren't any.
Bloody hell, Phil Jupiter's has changed.
You've got to...
Sorry, Buzzcocks is on in the background.
Can we have them subtitles?
The problem is, Peter, that there aren't any standards.
Right, modern haircut.
No, but you can... there are generalities. You can, like, I think that we only get like 3% of our traffic arrives on a web browser older than Internet Explorer 8.
Yeah, well, I think
I think
perhaps his issue is that he might be designing a site that he doesn't have that data for. So,
oh no, but there will be general data for general. Though I'm sure that you can find out rough estimates for like Facebook, and that will give you a general.
Yeah, I mean that's certainly true. And Google do publish those statistics, I believe.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
There you go. I have another question. This is from Person 678, who we quite like, so we could read his question.
Suppose.
He says, how do you feel about all this SOPA shit, seeing as you run a website? I think it's a load of old shit.
What was the question?
How do you feel about SOPA?
Oh, yes. No, not a big fan.
I feel that I would like to take a peep at
it. I think it's got some
it.
Fundamental principles that need addressing, but it was done in the way that ridiculously broadly worded and really.
It's using a sledgehammer to crack a walnut.
Yeah, completely.
And it's clearly a document written by people who don't understand what the document means or what their aims really are.
Some things on the internet take away our money. Let's take away the internet!
Yeah, it's like kids get knocked down by cars sometimes, so let's rip up all the roads.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Yeah, and it's not like nobody supports piracy.
You could probably reduce that number by taking away my driving license.
Nobody supports piracy, and I think that...
speak for yourself.
Like, I think that piracy is something which I would like to see limited for the creative people that actually make things. I don't think that SOPA is anywhere even near the same ballpark as what we need to do that. I don't think it'll work for a start. I think it'll drive pirates further underground, and it'll make the general ordinary people that maybe download a couple of TV shows a week or something, it'll make them have to go to illegal sites. It'll criminalize and ghettoize the whole thing. And I don't think that's worked for anything that has been prohibited ever. So, SOPA is a load of old bollocks. And also there is another thing at the minute going through the EU called ACTA, ACTA, which is a fairly similar, but I think even wider ranging thing, which is just as dangerous, and people should really look into that and sign the petitions. And tell your elected representatives that you don't want this shit. Because, like, a lot of these laws are written by people that own a lot of the back catalogues. They're written by people who work at, like, record companies and movie studios. They're not written by people who make that stuff. So, it's all just about protecting their own money.
Yeah, part of the problem lies with the companies or whatever that aren't changing with the times.
Yeah, I always think it's really weird because the music industry basically fucked itself over Napster. And they didn't come up with a correct alternative or a viable alternative, and the music industry folded in on itself and has basically the only reason why we still have a viable music industry is because Apple worked out how to do it
because of iTunes,
and then there's a few other sort of people that emulate that, Amazon stuff, it's all a similar thing, but the music industry was dragged into that kicking and screaming, and now the movie industry wants to do exactly the same thing. They want to make all the same mistakes that mean that the music industry makes less money now than it did 20 years ago.
They're too settled in the fact that they earned shitloads of money in the good old days, and now they don't want to move with the times, and therefore they're losing out on their money.
But, I mean, it's not even necessarily about that. There's a comedian called Louis C.K. I don't know if anybody's seen his stuff, but he did a show that he sold on the internet himself for $5, and he made almost $1 million in the week that it was up.
Yeah.
Because he made the content himself, and he distributed it himself, and he cut out the big, fat, greedy bastards at the studios.
Yeah.
And he made an absolute fortune at it. I think if there were more direct routes... I mean, famously, Radiohead made more money from that album that they released on the internet with Pay What You Want than they did from their previous three albums that went through studios and sold in shops.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be... People have to engage in the new distribution methods and the new way of getting their content out to people. And the reason why we're getting crazy laws like SOPA and ACTA is because the people that don't actually do anything are in danger of being cut out of the loop. We're going to have creators selling directly to consumers.
Obviously, the upside of ACTA, though, is that it is quite easy to campaign against. You should act on ACTA. The slogans write itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those placards would be easy.
Yeah,
but it's going to happen now. It's going to come. I mean, SOPA and PIPA have been shelved, but they're going to be rewritten and they'll be back soon.
Yes.
And they'll probably be back quieter because they'll try and sneak them past people now.
Indeed. I don't know if they will, though, because I've got this sneaking suspicion that the tech companies who oppose them can probably write bigger checks than the MPAA and the RAA can. So that's what they really care about, who can write the biggest check.
It did make me laugh when they said Google's to blame because it doesn't do enough to stop illegal sites that deal with illegal downloads from coming up. And I thought, they're a search engine. If someone types in download a film and it comes up, they're doing their job properly.
And also, they compile really quickly with any DMCA request.
Yeah, they do. They're generally quite helpful for that sort of thing if you're willing to talk to them.
Yeah. You can't just assume that they're automatic. That's the, essentially, well, it's very similar to saying that the post office should make sure that everything that goes through them is perfectly legal, which is just patently impossible. So.
And asking them to censor search results.
Yeah. Pretty is a bit scary.
No.
Yeah, that's what China does, and we don't want to, don't want to live in China. Couldn't cope with the working hours.
I don't understand the language. Mm.
Oh, that's another drawback.
Yeah.
What's food
and like? We all know how Chris feels about the Chinese.
I've got nothing against the Chinese at all. They're lovely people. They were obviously much more advanced than we were, making kites and stuff.
Paper? Pasta? The Chinese invented
and ice
pasta.
Cream.
Yeah, and I do like Chinese food as well, even though I know the food we get over here is largely a butchered version of real Chinese cuisine, but basic stuff like stir fries, I believe, are sort of fairly, I would imagine anyway, are sort of fairly similar because they're such a basic meal that you can't really change it a lot, can you? It's like the basic cooking technique.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy it. Just...
Portuguese invented curry.
Did they?
Mm.
Not sure I believe you.
Mm.
That is a fact. Because either there was a place in India that was a Portuguese settlement and they used all the spices in that to make curry and then the Indians went, we'll have some.
But wasn't it to mask the taste of rancid meat or something and started putting spices in?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. That's still the case today in most curry houses.
Right, should we wrap it up?
I just wanted to quickly point out, as we were talking about soap and paper, apparently people were issuing DMCA requests against individual tweets on Twitter.
Oh, that is fucking ridiculous.
Ellen's.
Yep.
Oh, and the UK just got a new photography law, which has passed, which now says that you're not allowed to take a photograph which resembles an existing photograph.
What?
What?
Right.
That is absolutely outrageous.
Of the burnt West Pier quite a lot, so you just the one, and then after that.
Yep.
That's...
So I'm never allowed to take a picture of like a bonfire or anything ever again.
For example, Houses of Parliament.
If you, for example, if somebody went,
got that covered.
If somebody went to the pier in Brighton and took a photograph like under it, say through the struts out over the sea, and that photograph became reasonably well known, then everybody else that took a photograph from that same sort of area that looked similar would be subject to copyright infringement.
Well, and that's already law.
That is fucking.
And that
shit.
Got I think it got passed. Today.
Oh my god.
It's insane. It'll get laughed out when it goes to court, though.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. It's madness. So there you go.
You've been there for listening to episode 49 of the Oscar Media Podcast. I've been, as per usual, your host.
God, astronomers are fucked. Has somebody taken a picture of the moon before? Oh, yes, it's been done. Crap.
I've been joined this week by editor-in-chief of FlixAxis.com and managing director of Oscar Mike Media, Peter Chapman. You can get twitter.com/ColossalBlue. I've also been joined this week by general dude in the world, Kev Adsit. You can get twitter.com/Cadis4000.
Kevatron 400.
Whatever.
400.
Just for clarity's sake, listener, in case you didn't get that, that's Kevatron 400, not Cadis 4000.
Jesus, Chris, he's only here for self-promotion.
And you can also get Lewis, I suppose.
My album's out there.
You get Lewis at twitter.com/LewisGaston28. It's not.
It's the real Gaston.
It's just twitter.com/LewisGaston. twitter.com/_LewisGaston.
You don't even use it as crap, right?
Yeah, that's a very lazy prank, to be honest. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.